Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My lords, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to pick up your ears and pay heed.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If I can take a moment here, and I mean this, what I'm about to say, I feel a lot of love in this room. I don't know, maybe it's me, but I'll tell you something. I was here a minute ago, and it's really beautiful. So at this moment, I think it's important that I see all of your breasts. I don't have to. I don't see the breath.
And now,
I'm Stephen Hawking, and I'm healthier than Dean.
Our feature presentation.
That's true, by the way. Yeah. It's science.
How dare you? Yep. How dare you?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It's the 14th of May.
Just occurred to me last night that the Weenie Roast is Saturday.
That just occurred to you?
Just occurred to me. Well, you know, you have something on the calendar and you realize it's coming up, but then all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, that's like this weekend.
Right? Sure.
That's all. That was my point.
Okay.
Awesome.
Just saying. It's getting close now, you guys.
Yeah.
It's almost Weenie time.
Sure. Well,
day after tomorrow.
It's always weenie time.
Yeah, well, that's
well yeah, for you, of course, yeah. Right. So, well, anyway, we do have more chances for you to win your way into that coming up on today's All-New Kevin and Bean Show. But before we get into that, let's talk about this story. You know, from time to time, we talk about the outrage that people are poised to have over everything.
Yeah. Most of the time, it's faux outrage.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Do you think so?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. I mean, faux meaning they're not truly offended, but they are looking to hate and be ugly.
And why?
So it doesn't mean they're not hateful and ugly. I don't know. I don't know.
I think people just want to be heard, whether it's something that they don't really care about. It's just one of those, well, look at me. I have a voice. Listen, you guys, listen. Shut up.
Yeah, maybe so. And in this day of social media, yeah, Everybody does have a voice. Everybody can express their outrage over things. I think this one might be justified, though, and I want to know what you guys think. Young woman is named Autumn Allen. She is 13 years old, and she is a singer on the way up. She's a baby singer.
I hope. Imagine she's on the way down at 13.
Well, what I'm saying is she's not one of those kids who came out of the gate like Charlotte Church, who became an established overnight sensation. She's still trying to make it in the pop music world. And she was invited to be – she lives in Cambodia. She and her father moved to Cambodia about 10 years ago from the United States. Details are sketchy, but mom did not come with them. So she hasn't seen her mother since they moved to Cambodia. But she and her dad have made a life, and she sings in English. She sings in Cambodian. She sings in Chinese, and she sings in French. She seems to be very smart and very talented.
Wow.
So she gets invited on a popular variety show called Penchen Ort, which means like it or not. And she's invited on the show to sing. And while she's there, they say, hey, tell us your story. And then they go, well, I have some great news about your dream to meet your mother, because she is here tonight.
Whoa.
Okay.
The young woman told the story about how her last memory of her mother was 10 years ago. She held me and kissed me, and she told me that she would always love me. And they say, your mom is here. And they pull back the curtain. The curtain. Not a carton. Probably wouldn't pull back a carton. Why would there be a
carton?
She's
a really small mom.
That's Chip's mom, probably. They pull back the curtain, and out walks a comedian, a man named Chup Roland, dressed as her mother.
Oh, my God.
Now, again, she's 13.
This is a child.
Yes. This is a child.
This seems unusually cruel.
Yearning for her mother, right?
Yeah.
So she cries, obviously. It's not her mom. She's all excited with the big buildup. One of the hosts of the show says, what were you thinking? Did you think it was real?
Wow.
She said she didn't know, but you can imagine the producers and hosts of the show have just been destroyed on the internet as a result of the the stunt. Such a brainless and shameful trick from my TV. How can you play with her feelings like that? Another said the producer was stupid and brainless and heartless by playing around with the mind and heart of a 13-year-old girl. They lied to this girl that her mother, she hasn't met for a long time, would be reunited on TV only to be presented with a cross-dressing comedian. It just goes on and on and on. So they, the TV station has apologized online, and I guess on the next edition of the show they say they will apologize on the program as well. But she's been taking it pretty well, by the way. She said she was, you know, in an interview the next day, she said, initially I was disappointed, but the comedian was funny, so I did have fun on the show. My dad was very proud of how I handled myself in the situation.
Wow.
He took me to a nice restaurant afterwards.
She's more mature than I am now.
Absolutely.
She is. Yeah.
I would have burned that place down.
Same.
Wouldn't you have just been so angry if you had been watching that and seen them do that to a little girl?
Well, yeah. It's one of the great, sadnesses in your life, and they're just messing with you.
That's cruel.
Rough.
Guess what? Not your mom. It's this dude.
Hey, we were just kidding.
So it was on Mother's Day too. By the way,
stop it.
All right.
So
keeps getting better.
Cambodian TV. Don't do that.
Stop doing that.
Like
stop
it or not, that. She went with or not on that one.
Oh, yes, I think that's correct.
Yes, or not. I hate that show.
Yeah, I do too, and I've never seen it.
Nope.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecher, shall we?
You know what? I'm glad I get to say this on air. Who cares?
Great, sir.
Hopefully you will. We're doing Ask an OCD Doctor today. OCD is one of those things I feel like ADHD, which is that pretty much everybody thinks they have some form of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a question. Most of the times it's, here's what I do. Am I OCD?
I don't have it. I know that.
Yeah, no, you don't at all. So we're going to have her in, and we're going to have Bean ask all of his questions and verify it so that he can then deny that he has it. We have a trip to Las Vegas we're going to give away in the 6 o'clock hour this morning.
Fantastic.
We are going to talk sports with Jim Rome. And speaking of sports, we're going to talk to the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Try not to call him Dong when we get him on. All right?
He totally thought you missed it.
If you could. Just Don. I think Don's fine. Donnie. A lot of people call him Donnie, but no Dong.
I thought his nickname was Dong. No.
No, that's your nickname from college. Oh, yeah. Remember, you were Dong.
That's on me.
The first 2 years, and the second 2 years, you were Thicky, remember?
I'll make a note.
But just Don is fine.
It'd be funny if I did, though, right?
No, it wouldn't be funny.
Also on the program today, we have Dr. Drew, and we have your tickets for the Weenie Roast in the pit and backstage, which Bean
when
just
is
realized
that, by the way?
Is the day after tomorrow.
Oh, it's the day after tomorrow. That's going fast. Yeah.
Very exciting. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Lot of sporting events using that song. Lot of sports. A lot of montages. A lot of things going on in the NBA, the NHL. That song is used a lot.
Hey, look. Fall Out Boy figured out a way to make a ton of money off their music when no one's buying it.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
To them, right?
I don't blame them, but I think I've heard
you're
it,
just tired of it
in the sports montages, I would say.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Hey, it's 5:54 here on a Thursday morning. The best hair in Hollywood. Ralph Garman just stepped in with the show. Speak warning, Ralph.
Yeah.
What?
Yo.
Uh-oh.
Yo.
What's going on, dude?
What's up, man?
You're sad?
No, it's my new attitude, yo.
Are you Iggy Azalea
now? I'm like Iggy. I'm in the murder business, yo. Changing my styles, you know.
I like it.
What's up?
I like it.
Los Angeles, yo.
Hey, let's not forget that you got that shout out in that British rap song last.
That's right.
Week,
I am down
kind of in the
homies.
Club now.
I am down with the homies. Let's not forget.
That's right.
Yo, did you see that Iggy Azalea thing? Where remember everybody was making fun of all that gibberish she was talking on stage every time she made an appearance,
right?
Trying to freestyle, and they took it and they slowed it down, and someone said, "That's Kendrick Lamar." She's stealing lyrics from Kendrick Lamar now.
No kidding.
Yeah, they finally figured out what she was saying. She just ripped him off. She's bogus on every level. That's her there. Come on. She doesn't sound good.
Not in that clip.
Her new video with Britney Spears was released yesterday. They look pretty hot, though, I gotta tell you.
Yeah. That's some good acting, though, isn't it, Ralph?
Oh, boy. She is spectacular, and Britney's just as good.
Iggy is the master of the accent, I'll tell you
that. Give them a series. Give these two girls a series, because it's like an 80s alien spoof homage. It's a masterwork, and I recommend everyone watch it on a loop endlessly.
I don't mind the song, by the way.
Eh, it's there.
But the setup skit has got to go.
No! What? No!
Can we please bring some audio for next hour?
I will absolutely do that for you, sir, yes. This is fascinating to me. I had no idea. Tom Hardy, one of the hottest movie stars in the world right now, of course, stars in the upcoming Mad Max Fury Road, which, by the way, is just getting all the praise from everyone.
Is it really?
Boy, it sure is.
Love it.
Every critic, everybody who sees it. Patton Oswalt last night was just raving about it on Twitter. Could not say enough nice things about it.
Fantastic.
I can't wait to see this film. He was doing an interview with the New York Post's Page Six, and he said basically he is lucky to be alive because drug addiction nearly claimed his life.
Oh, no kidding.
I had no idea. But he said at one point his drug addiction was so bad he would have, in his words, sold my mother for a rock of crack. He added that he was a shameful suburban statistic, but he has since been in recovery and now is drug-free. But at one time, he thought he wasn't going to make it out. Terrifying.
Good for him.
Good for him indeed. But drugs can hit anybody, man.
Yep.
I wish they'd hit Gwyneth Paltrow.
Because?
I don't know.
The list is long, I know.
She bugs. Her mother, Blythe Danner, was on the Today Show this week talking about, and they asked her, why do you think everyone attacks your daughter? Why does everyone hate your daughter, do you think?
It's a great question.
She
says,
harsh.
Gwyneth attracts criticism because, and here's why she attracts criticism. Now we know the source of the problem.
All right.
It goes back to childhood. And I've always said that. Parenting, parenting, parenting. Here's what she said. I know she's the most extraordinary girl who can do anything. I'm so proud of her. I think she's so accomplished that people get kind of intimidated by her. Boom! There you go. There's the problem.
So she's too good at everything.
Since she was an infant, this woman has been telling her, you're extraordinary. You're better than everyone. That's why we get gooped now. That's why we've all been gooped. Because of this kind of behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And hot mess number two, Lindsay Lohan in the news. I'm sorry.
She doing her 60 days of whatever?
Well, she's got 125 hours of community service she's got to do. She's back in New York to fulfill that obligation. I did mention, I guess it was last week, that she had done less than 10 hours out of that 125. And she has to have it done by the end of this month. So she's got to get a move on. So she's currently working at the Brooklyn Community Services Duffield Children's Center in New York, and here's the thing. She's got to work with kids.
Right.
Well, how do you feel if you're a parent and you got a little kid? And how do you feel about Lindsay Lohan working with your kids?
Seems like a good influence to me.
Yeah. Hmm.
So they had to send a letter to all the parents. Send it home with them.
Give them a heads up.
Here's what it read. Ms. Lohan has asked to return to complete her community services and may be placed in a classroom with your child. As with any volunteer, this would be under constant supervision from the classroom teacher and Duffield staff. Please know that all requirements for this volunteer work will be met prior to her entering the classroom. Furthermore, volunteers are never left alone with the children. So they're reassuring parents that Lindsay Lohan won't have access to their kids,
just
basically.
That sentence makes me cringe.
Don't worry. She won't be doing blow off your child's ass.
That isn't good for you.
It's not good for you. Parents sent back many letters to the center.
Uh-huh.
Ranging from just as long as she's not drunk, one parent said, it's okay with her, to good luck with my crazy kid. So apparently the kid's worse off. Lindsay's in more trouble than the kid is.
Good luck, Lindsay.
The kid might have bad influence on Lindsay. So good luck to everyone involved in that situation.
Wow.
It sounds like just a train wreck waiting to happen. Today's celebrity birthdays, a gentleman by the name of George Lucas celebrates his 71st birthday today. Thank God someone wrestled his properties away from him before he just raped our childhood any longer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was just thinking the two best things he ever did were create the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
One. Mm-hmm. And sell the Star Wars universe, two. Those were the two.
That was absolutely right. David Byrne of Talking Heads, legendary band, 63 years old. Robert Zemeckis, another talented director, is 63. Tim Roth turns 54 years old. Poison guitarist CeCe DeVille is 53. New Kids on the Block singer Danny Wood is 46 years old.
That's not a real new kid, is it, Alan?
Danny Wood?
There's a Danny Wood?
Danny Wood?
There's a new kid named Danny Wood?
Huh. Yeah.
Wait a second. There's Jonathan Knight, and then there's the Jordan Knight, guy, and Donnie.
Donnie Wahlberg, Joey McIntyre.
Joey McIntyre.
And there's a Danny Wood?
Danny Wood?
Isn't that sad?
Is he the black sheep of the new kids?
Yeah.
Is he just no personality? Is that why we've never heard of him?
No, he's a lovely human being, I'm very sure. He just wasn't the hot one. He wasn't the dangerous one. He
wasn't
one
was
cute
he?
One. He wasn't the shy one. He was Danny Wood.
He was the boring one.
He was the Wood one.
Is he in charge of the lights or something? I mean,
yeah,
did
he did all the sound check.
Sound check?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, we learned something today. There's a new kid named Donnie Wood.
Danny.
Or Danny.
Oh, Danny.
Dong Wood.
Dong Wood. Why not?
Sophia Coppola's 44 years old. Black Keys guitarist and singer Dan Auerbach is 36. UFC fighter Uriah Faber is 36 as well. Amber Tamblyn. How much do we love Amber Tamblyn?
All.
Love her so much. 32
She's
years
awesome.
Old. Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg is 31. New England Patriots tight end Ron Gronkowski celebrates his 26th birthday today. How much drugs is he going to do?
None.
All drugs?
None.
Him and Tom will get together and deflate some balls and stuff them full of cocaine and snort them?
He'll deflate some balls.
Oh, stop
sure.
it. Miranda Cosgrove, the actress, is 22 years old today. And DJ Martin Garrix celebrates his 19th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yesterday morning, about this time in the first showbiz report of the day, Ralph Garman brought up that it was Darius Rucker's birthday, the singer, a very popular country singer now, formerly with Hootie and the Blowfish. And we made reference to something that had happened in the past involving Kevin and Darius Rucker. But we didn't have time to tell the story there. And throughout the day, we kept saying, oh, we're going to get to it. Never got to it until the very end of the program. So in case you were listening throughout the day early and missed it, I think you need to know that Kevin has some explaining to do.
I went to the Grammys and brought a laser pointer so that when Hootie and the Blowfish were on the stage, I would put the laser pointer on them and then all would laugh. So I do that.
And by all, you mean?
I don't know. I'm just telling you the facts.
You mean you, Magpie. You shiny object liker.
Yes.
Yes.
So that happens, and he performs, and the little lights all over his guitar, and I'm cracking up, and I find that funny. And then...
Now, wait. Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is this during the actual Grammys show, like while it's live on television?
Yep.
You're in the audience of the TV audience, and you're putting a red light on his face while he's on TV?
What, you've never heard this story before, Bean?
No, I thought it was a rehearsal.
No!
This was during the Grammys.
Grammys. He's in the audience. Cameras are live, being broadcast around the world. Kevin is shining a laser pointer on Darius Rucker while he performs with Hootie and the Blowfish.
Now, what I don't know is that his manager was standing on stage and saw it coming from the audience, and then when they broke for commercial, he watched me stand up and walk down front to seat Phil or whatever I was doing that day and said, that's him! And the security surrounded me at the Grammys and they marched me out and then they asked me my name and my address and I gave them all false information and then they physically removed me from the Grammys.
Didn't they ask you to empty your pockets?
Oh yeah, they did. They said, what's this? It was a laser pointer. I said, a pen?
You say it just like that.
Yes, and they did not find that funny. You don't have any
they
ID.
They knew it was a laser pointer. Yeah, They're holding it. You're saying everyone knows it's a laser pointer, and you say it's a pen.
Yes, and it wasn't a pen/laser pointer.
Right.
It was just a laser pointer.
It was no pen.
Yeah, so I said, a pen? Trying to be, you know, lighten the mood a little. And then they threw me out. So then we came on the next day and told the story, and then the record company.
Well,
the
good thing we're not in the music business. We're not. There's no way that anyone from the music industry would ever hear about it from K-Rock, the radio station.
Cut to about 6 months later, I'm on the phone in the office talking to Hootie or whatever the guy's name is.
Did our boss pull you in and say you need to make this right?
You have to say you're sorry.
Because the record label itself is furious at the fact that you put a laser pointer on one of their talent.
Yes. Wow. And so I sat there and said, I'm sorry that I put a laser pointer. And he said, don't do it anymore. And I said, okay.
Now, is that an accurate representation of how the conversation went?
I really did have to get on my knees, so to speak. I mean, I really had to.
You're a fifth grader in the principal's office.
I was, yes.
Is who you are.
I really had.
In many levels, you're a fifth grader. But in this particular case.
Zero people were interested in a fake apology. Mm-hmm. So I had to sort of.
And did he say, I forgive you, young man? Obviously, you're 15.
Did he say, I'm not angry at you, Kevin.
I'm
just
disappointed.
Did he say that?
I don't remember. I just remember walking out going, so that happened.
Did they ask you why you did it? Like, how did your reason, I thought it would be funny, go over with them?
The same as it goes over with everybody. Nobody finds what I think to be funny funny. So what, at some point,
you're short bus. That's why.
At some point, you just give up and you just go, I don't know, I thought it was funny.
Because you're special needs.
Look, at that point, I was just trying to just cut bait and get out. I just wanted to stop this madness. So I had to apologize to Hootie.
Now, wasn't there one other part of the story that I have a vague memory of, which is something somebody in Hootie's camp told you about why they were not only annoyed by it, but they were
concerned,
frightened by
yes.
it. Because they thought it may not have just been a child's play toy, that it might have been a sight for a rifle or something, right?
Yeah.
So
they thought it was a laser scope.
Yeah.
That's why they were really panicked when they saw the red dot. Listen, if you've ever seen a movie.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
The red laser dot coming through the window, you know Tom Cruise is about to get popped while he's on Mission Impossible.
No. So this was Zero Dark Hootie is what this was. Essentially.
How long have you been holding on to that?
Yeah, really. Since the last time you told the story, I guess. Wasn't there an extra fact to that story? He said, furious that he couldn't use the joke that he had written down an hour ago.
That's not true. I just thought of it this second.
I forgot about that part.
As we were talking about the war movie.
Is there another part of that story, Kevin, regarding why they thought the red dot would be dangerous?
I have a joke in the chamber.
I have to say it. And if you don't tell that part of the story, I can't get to it.
That's not fair. That was a good line, you guys. Come on.
Sure was. An hour ago, as you jotted down several movie titles with the word Hootie in them.
I just thought of that. Look, the focus isn't on
driving
me here.
Fast? Was it Hootie and the Bandit?
I'm not the one. I'm not the one who tried to kill Darius Rucker. That's Kevin. All right, don't turn this around on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they didn't use a bomb, would have been the Hootie Locker.
He just has a list of.
He's
Hootie.
Got a whole chunk. He's working
Hootie
up there.
Titles he's written down.
Can't believe Kevin's not telling that part of the story.
If I remember correctly, wasn't there also an additional fact, Kevin?
Yeah, then there came in the acting where he's like, I think I
remember. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't there something about...
So, Allie, are you... Now that you've heard it, you see why Kevin is magic, right? A picture being an adult, though, Ralph, and being lucky enough to be at the Grammys, would you try to disrupt it with your nonsense?
No, of course not.
In a million years, you'd never... I mean, you're one step away from the soy bomb guy,
Kevin.
I'm
a human being. I'm a person.
Same.
I wouldn't do that. No, you're not.
Same.
Don't get me started with the Grammys. And don't bring up Grammys to me, Bean. Because Kevin did take me to the Grammys one year. Do you remember?
Oh!
When he left me behind at the Shrine Auditorium?
That was a whole different year.
When he abandoned me in the parking lot?
He
was
ghetto?
My ride. He was my ride. He picked me up, and then I'm gonna go to where I have a good seat. Why don't you stay here? I was like, all right. I'll see you after the show. I was like, okay. So I walk out of the parking lot. The car's gone. The car's gone.
Kevin's home. He's in bed at that point.
Out. No, I was partying with Hootie and the Blowfish.
I was.
They made up over the laser pointer incident. Gone.
I went to party.
Not even close.
I went back up where I thought Ralph was.
And gone.
I was in completely the wrong place. So he, of course, wasn't there. So I was like, well, maybe Ralph left. I went to parties.
So it's midnight, and Ralph is walking down Exposition Boulevard in a tuxedo.
Shrine Auditorium. In a tuxedo.
With no money.
With no money. You're trying to find an ATM so I can get a cab. Tremendous douchebag.
So Kevin's not allowed to go to the Grammys anymore.
Yeah. So you can't surprise me what Kevin does at the Grammys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, both those happened. Different years. My bad.
Oh, was it?
I'll take this.
Wait, was it Ralph's fault?
No, that's on me.
Ass. No one likes you.
If you are one of the poor bastards that has to get up at this time of the day, we're going to give you something. We have a trip to Las Vegas to give away. We're going to do it next with a game. Can we tell them about the game? Or
no,
just
we cannot.
All right.
Mad Max Fury Road is our sponsor. That film is in theaters everywhere on, tomorrow, Friday, May 15th. It looks fantastic. And, you know, for all this time, I've been trying to figure out, what was the connection? Like, why would Mad Max send people to Las Vegas? And I think I finally figured it out, Kevin. I think it's because they're both set in the desert.
Okay.
That's the American desert right there. This movie takes place in the Australian desert. So you think maybe that's it?
I don't know.
Or care.
I also don't care much.
1-800-520-1067. You'll put you on hold for a couple of minutes, and then you get a chance to play a game. Courtesy of Mad Max Fury Road in theaters tomorrow, you can win a trip for two to Las Vegas, including round trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash.
Ralph did a story in the showbiz about J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, doing a residency in Las Vegas. This is sort of the new thing where they just go for a month at a time and stay there and let everybody come to them.
Or 2 years at a time.
2 years,
in the case of Britney Spears, Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, by the way, just set up her residency there. You know, I don't know why you wouldn't do this. Why go through the hassle of traveling to every city to sell the same amount of tickets that you can sell in Las Vegas and have the world come to you?
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense. I mean, they put you up in probably, I don't know where J-Lo would stay. They'd probably buy her a house that she could live in while she's there for her residency. But whatever it is, she's got her 10-minute commute to work. Then she walks out on stage, works for an hour and 20 minutes, and can go walk out of there with $500,000.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal.
It's the best deal in show business.
Awesome.
Pretty good. I'd do that if any people are listening. I'd do that.
I would pay
to see you on stage doing anything, Kevin. In case you're interested, by the way, Jennifer Lopez's stint will be at the Axis Theater and will begin on January 20th of 2016. The first 20 performances go on sale this Saturday. And so far, she's scheduled to be there for January, February, May, and June of next year. Ticket prices range from $60 to a little over $200. And if you're a J-Lo fan, there's a good chance to go see her as often as you want. Now, Allie, you may not know this, but we actually have somebody in the Jennifer Lopez camp that we are very, very close to. That we get a chance to check in with from time to time. And I believe our friend J-Lo's ass is on the line right now. Hello there.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
How you been?
Wow.
Great. I haven't heard from you guys in a while.
Well, frankly, your boss has not been in the news that much lately, with the exception of American Idol.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, other than American Idol, yeah.
Oh, Jenny's always in the news.
Well, what did we miss?
Well, first of all, her on-again, off-again relationship with Casper Smart.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, he takes a toll, I'll tell you.
Kind of rough on you?
Smart. Oh, I was glad when they were off again. I'm not so happy that they're on again.
I mean, nice to get a break, was it?
He's on me again, and yeah. I just don't need that.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
I mean, look, I don't want to get graphic.
Well, don't, please. Then.
Please don't.
Yeah, I'm good.
But, I'm an exit, primarily.
Right.
I think of myself as an exit.
Uh-huh. Yes, we'd like to also.
Not so much as an entrance.
Right.
And certainly not a revolving door like some people seem to think I am.
Right, sure.
Casper, I'm looking at you with my one eye.
It's got to be one of the worst
parts
of
your job. Is that the stink eye?
Your job.
That's right. It's always the stink eye, baby.
You're always giving the stink eye.
Yes, I am.
All right, so Casper Smart, what else has J-Lo been doing?
Well, she's been recording. She had that new single, Love You, Poppy. Me love you, Poppy.
Yeah,
right.
Me love you, Poppy.
Yeah, that was a song.
Love.
She said love a lot. Yeah.
Love.
Uh-huh.
And that's like me in a bathtub. Love.
That's kind of
a little last sound effect there.
One last bubble.
Oh, okay. Is that boring for you when J-Lo is in the studio working on music?
No, because she shakes me. When she records, she's shaking me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
She works standing up. Some performers work standing down, but J-Lo, she's up and she's shaking me when she's working, and it's great.
Now, what about American Idol coming to an end? I imagine that was a lot of sitting.
A lot of sitting. I have calluses from that show, and I'm happy that she's getting out of the chair and putting me back up on the stage where I belong.
Do you like Vegas? Are you excited to be there?
Love Vegas. Yeah. One of my favorite towns.
Sure.
I love playing craps. That's my game. That's my jam.
Wait, who's laughing in the background, J-Lo's ass?
That's J-Lo's vagina.
Okay.
My neighbor, J-Lo's vagina. But I love, craps is my jam.
Right, sure. That makes sense.
We have a good time.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:37.
Hey, it's your chance to ask an OCD doctor next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we're talking sports with Jim Rome later on and the manager of the Dodgers, whose name again is what, Kevin?
Don Mattingly.
Thank you for asking me. Don's going to be joining us.
Right.
First, though, Ralph Garman, what the hell are you doing in here?
I am here to give away a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah! Kids love Vegas.
Thanks to the good folks at Mad Max Fury Road. Cannot wait to see this movie. It is in theaters everywhere coming this weekend. Comes out on Friday. And to celebrate, we thought it would be appropriate to take a look at some famous roads, since this movie is Mad Max Fury Road. And Fury Road, of course, is destined to become a famous road. So we're going to take a look at some famous roads, because we're on the road again.
On the road again. Kevin and Bean have a trip that you can win to Las Vegas, so you can make many friends. Come on, it's time to play on the road again.
Like country, Omar.
Let's go make some friends.
That's what you go to Las Vegas for.
When you go to Vegas, gee, I'm lonely. What can I? I'm going to go make some friends.
Where are
you
going to
go?
Friends.
Las Vegas. That's where all the friend making happens. It's famous for their friend making.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know.
Seriously.
Looking for a rhyme, I'm guessing.
All right. So the callers are lined up. Ralph, you're going to be asking them questions, some with audio clues. And
yes.
All of them, the answers will be famous roads. Do we have
Bean,
that down?
You
right?
have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
So the answers that the callers give us will involve the road.
Yes, Kevin. Okay. That's right.
Now, not only that, but after I ask a question, the answer will include road.
Road. Okay, we hadn't brought that. Good.
Right.
All right, let's start with Steve in Azusa. Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Steve, this is an audio clue, so wait to hold your answer until you hear it, okay?
Okay.
But here's your question. This movie, the second one for Adam Carolla, he plays a comedian who has had a movie and sitcom career run dry, and now he's headlining in dingy comedy clubs. Here's your clip.
Michael's pilot is getting shot.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I was going to tell you, but I know how depressed you are when you come off the road.
You didn't think I'd be happy for you?
Are you?
Yes. No.
There you go.
Yep. Sorry.
What's the name of the movie?
Sorry.
Got it. Is it Road Hard?
Road Hard!
Well done, Steve.
Starring Adam Carolla. Well done. You're in the drawing. Hold on, Steve, okay?
Got it.
Steve, right. Have you played every game we've done for the last month?
You guys never picked me to win.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's
I don't blame the guy. He's got to take his strokes.
So let's go to Ryan in Fullerton. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thank
good,
you.
Good, Ryan. Here is your question. Another audio clue, so wait till you hear it before you answer. This song, written and performed by Bruce Springsteen, is the opening track of his 1975 breakthrough album, Born to Run.
Well, the night's busted open, these two lines will take us in.
That song.
Hey, Jimmy Fallon, take it easy over there. What's that one called, please?
Thunder Road.
Thunder Road is correct.
Thunder Road! Hey,
so I was the guy on Tuesday that could not get TJ Maxx.
Hang on. Yeah. Well, hold on. You're in the drawing for this one, Ryan. Maybe you'll be luckier.
All right, let's go to...
Well, I got this
right.
guitar.
That's right. We got
no,
we're done. We're moving on.
Yep.
We're moving on. Oh, Vicky and Whittier, hi.
Hi,
Vicky. Another audio clue. Here's your question. In 1989, this action film starred Patrick Swayze as a bouncer in a roadside bar, and he protects a small town in Missouri. Here's your clip.
Well, Mr. Dalton, you may add 9 staples to your dossier of 31 broken bones, 2 bullet wounds, 9 puncture wounds, and 4 stainless steel screws. That's an estimate, of course. I'll give you a local.
No, thank you.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Pain don't hurt. That's right. Pain don't hurt.
Pain don't hurt.
Is it Roadhouse?
Roadhouse!
That was Roadhouse. Nicely done.
Well done.
All right. Hold on.
You're in the drawing.
Isn't the very definition of pain something that hurts, though?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's like saying water ain't wet.
Let's go to Chris in San Pedro. Hi.
Hey, you guys. Good morning.
Hey, Chris. No audio clue for you. Just a straight-up question. Here is yours. Although there are variations on this ice cream flavor, it's traditionally composed of chocolate ice cream, nuts, and marshmallows.
Rocky Road ice cream.
Rocky Road! Well
Look
done.
Look at this.
Nice.
We're on the table this morning, the audience, talking about famous roads here, trying to give away a trip to Las Vegas, courtesy of Mad Max Fury Road. Who's next?
Peter. In Englewood.
Peter in Englewood. Peter, no pressure, but everyone has gotten it right so far.
No, I'm not doing too good so far.
Oh, really?
Well, I was on yesterday and Tuesday.
What is happening?
What the hell? Getting through.
I don't know. Or do we only have 8 listeners?
That is more
Great
likely.
Point. Great point.
Eventually, everyone's going to win a major prize because they're just going to circulate.
There's only 8 of you. Got to spread it out.
Hey, if you don't win, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's right. Peter, I hope you get this one. It's an audio clue. Wait for it before you answer. Get all the help you can get. This is a rock song written by legendary singer-songwriter David Byrne for his band The Talking Heads from the 1985 album Little Creatures. Here's the tune.
I have no idea.
Oh, Peter, I'm sorry.
Talk to you tomorrow.
We're on the road to nowhere.
Oh, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
And happy birthday, David Byrne, too, by the way.
Happy birthday, David Byrne.
Let's go to Gus and Chino. Hi, Gus.
Hey there. I too have been on this week a couple times.
What the hell?
Is this awesome or is this embarrassing, you guys?
I don't know yet.
I think these guys have hacked the system. That's they possible, know how to get in somehow.
Something's going on. Yeah. They're all in the same room together, too, I bet.
They work at like a sales place or something. They're just dialing out. Gus, here's your audio clue. This cartoon character was created by legendary director Chuck Jones in 1948 for Warner Brothers.
Meep, meep.
That's all you need.
Oh,
cartoon
man,
character, Warner Brothers.
Road in the title.
Big Bird.
Did you say Big Bird?
Yeah.
You.
No, I said I'm thinking a Big Bird, but no. Oh. I can't get it.
Sweet spirit.
Gus, don't call back.
Don't ever call back.
Goodbye.
A cartoon character with road in the title.
Right.
That goes beep, beep.
Goes beep, beep. Right.
That's Roadrunner. It's Roadrunner.
Come on, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, no question.
I'm thinking a Big Bird. Are you? Mentalist?
I think we got time for one more, Ralph.
Some sort of bird.
Let's go to Cypress. Say hi to Matt. Hello, Matt.
What do you do, party people?
Hey, Matt. Here is your audio clue. Listen for it before you answer. This is the second single from Foo Fighters' sixth album, Echoes, Silence, Patience, and Grace. It was released in way back in 2007. I can't believe it's been that long. Here's a little audio clue for you. Oh, great tune.
That is a great tune.
You know the title of that Foo Fighters song?
I've gotten everything right except for this ding song.
Come on.
It does have road in the answer.
Give you a hint.
A hint with road? Furious Road, I don't know.
Furious Road.
That's a good one. Long Road to Ruin is the name of that Foo Fighters song.
But you got to send me to Vegas so I can party.
And make some friends.
Yeah, we don't really. Thank you.
He was trying to do a Bugatti, I think, on us there is what was happening.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks to all
four
of the
winners,
callers.
Right?
Leave Bugatti to the professionals, please.
Do we have four
winners? Steve, Ryan, yes. Vicky, and Chris. Yes, they are all in the drawing. Only one will find himself in Las Vegas making friends courtesy of Mad Max Fury Road in theaters everywhere tomorrow, starring Tom Hardy, the beautiful Charlize Theron, and Nicholas Hoult getting fantastic reviews. Can't wait to see it myself. Who's our winner, Alan McKay?
Shockingly, he has called in 17 times since I started. Steve, congratulations.
Steve!
Thanks a lot, guys.
You won something!
Now leave
finally,
us alone!
Finally.
Leave us alone
Stop
now!
Stop calling! Thanks for playing on the road again. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And speaking of sports, we're going to talk to the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Try not to call him Dong when we get him on. All right?
He totally thought you missed it.
I'll make a note.
But just Don is fine.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
The skipper will be on with us at 8:30 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get a chance to ask an OCD doctor coming up just after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the show. He's been on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Whatever with OCD. When are we going to get a doctor in here for Kevin?
How dare you?
When are we going to fix that?
There's nothing to fix, man.
I think he's terminal, Ralph. I'm sorry.
Can't pull that off.
So we're going to be talking to Donkey Baseball? Hey, it's Donkey Baseball. Hey, Donkey.
I don't know what's going on there.
Sad news, man. Sad news for Simpson fans. It was good news, first of all. Good news this week because Fox announced that they were renewing the legendary animated program for two more seasons. Seasons 27 and 28. 28 years the show's been on the air.
Unbelievable.
It will have been in 2 years. But then sad news when they apparently have lost
one of the most recognizable voices and actors on the program, Harry Shearer. Who, of course, voices Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, Principal Skinner, Kent Brockman, Dr. Hibbert, Scratchy, Lenny, Reverend Lovejoy, Otto the Bus Driver,
wow.
Kang the Extraterrestrial, Smithers, Police Officer Eddie, Judge Snyder, Jebediah Springfield, Rainier Wolfcastle, Jasper Beardley, about 14 other characters on the show. Has announced this week that he will no longer be participating. It looks like it's over a contract dispute. The details are a little fuzzy. He tweeted on Wednesday night that he was leaving the show because, what he said, what we've always had, the freedom to do other work.
Okay.
Then he tweeted a message from the lawyer of the producer, James L. Brooks, and said, Harry will not be part of it. We wish him the best. So I guess it was money exclusivity, or I don't know, but Harry's had sort of a chapped ass about this show for a couple years
now.
Oh. Yeah, he's been unhappy with how they've been treated. When even they did the announcement for the renewal, he tweeted the announcement and then quoted the announcement, then saying, "Doesn't this show have a cast?"
Because they didn't mention them.
Because they didn't mention the actors who do the voices of The Simpsons. They just mentioned The Simpsons. So he seems like he's been a little chap-assed with 20th Century Fox Television for some time now, and maybe the producers of the show as well.
Well, it has to be a pain in the ass to make $300,000 a week, too.
Yeah, and you're in the studio for a couple hours at a shot.
Yeah.
So I can imagine the grueling.
You can understand why you get upset at some point. Enough is enough.
The grueling work that he must put in. I mean, this out there in the hot sun with that asphalt layer, that machine they use.
I don't think they do animation that way.
They don't have to do that?
No, none of that.
I feel bad personally. I would just like to say, regarding this story, Simpson, eh? Oakley Doakley. I'm worried about Bart.
Wow.
That's all.
Go right
that's
there.
All I'd like to say.
There's your answer.
Yeah, Rainier Wolfcastle.
I'm just looking at the phone, just waiting for the phone to ring, waiting for the Simpsons to call.
Wait for Fox. Hello? Is this
if
thing
they
on?
Heard that, it's clear what needs to be done.
Oakley Doakley.
Simpson, eh? Smithers, release the dogs.
I mean,
hello?
Look.
Is this thing on?
They're going to go on
nothing,
with
guess.
Those characters,
nothing.
So somebody else is going to be doing them.
Yeah.
Probably the King of Mexico after his Ray Romano yesterday.
That's true. He is the man of many voices. Hey, Dave, can we hear you, Mr. Burns? Can we hear you, Mr. Burns, in the other room? Dave, are you there? Dave? Damn it, I wish he listened to the show.
That'd be great.
It would really come in handy, wouldn't
really
it?
Be good.
It would really come in handy.
He sure tells us every day how great Big Boy was today, though.
He sure does. He's in the neighborhood. Hey, the new Britney Spears song is out. Pretty Girls with Iggy Azalea, duet between the two pop stars. It is awesome. It's an awesome song. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's really not that awesome. It's just your dance music. It's the reason guys hate Pretty Girls. Because they're going, we're so pretty, we got to the front of the line, and we're so pretty, we do whatever we want. Now I want to throw a face full of acid in you.
It's aggressive.
You'll really enjoy the video. Because not only is it the song and it's Britney and Iggy shaking their asses in 80s garb, but the premise of the video is Iggy Azalea lands on Earth in the 80s and Britney is sort of a valley girl. And so she takes the alien Iggy Azalea under her wing and teaches her how to be a pretty girl in the 80s.
Okay.
And Iggy Azalea has to act like an alien who doesn't understand the world, and then she gets taught how to behave by Britney Spears. Okay. It's an acting tour de force, really, on both their parts. Please enjoy.
Hi, girls.
Hey, me.
Who's the new hottie?
Yeah, she looks like totally far out.
She is. She's like totally from another planet.
Totally.
No way.
This phone is totally broken.
I can totally fix it for you.
Fix it for me.
Those are radical alien powers.
Yeah.
Let me call your friend.
Okay.
Totally. Hello, girls. Where I totally, like, totally coming over right now.
Let's go!
That's not annoying at all.
Not even a little bit.
Jesus.
Wow.
Iggy, that accent she's doing. I mean, I know she's an alien, but what is she doing?
I don't know. It's some sort of Australian alien valley girl hybrid.
Murder business?
Mutant, foul creature of sound.
Yeah, she's neck down.
What?
She's neck down.
I don't. You appreciate everything below the neck.
Yeah. I think she's pretty. I think she's neck up. She's good, too. She's sound down.
Yeah, but sound down. Yeah, maybe sound down is more accurate.
Not neck down so much. Dung Mattingly. Today's celebrity birthdays. George Lucas is 71. Enjoy your vacation, George. You've earned it. David Byrne. We were just talking about the Talking Heads in the last segment. 63 years old today.
Found out that listeners today have no idea what his song is.
That's right. Director Robert Zemeckis is also 63. Tim Roth turns 54. CeCe DeVille, Poison guitarist, is 53. Danny Wood. We found out today that there's a guy named Danny Wood that was in New Kids on the Block. Maybe still is. Are they still together? Are they
yeah.
a thing now?
They just played at the Forum. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
Wow.
Danny Wood is 46. Sofia Coppola is 44. Dan Auerbach from Black Keys is 36 years old, as is Uriah Faber, UFC fighter. Amber Tamblyn's 32. And the creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, is 31. Hey, Mark, can I talk to people on Facebook on my phone without having that thing pop up all the time now? Is somebody we can work that out? Mark, buddy, happy birthday, buddy. Help me out. Buddy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Why do I feel like all of a sudden we're in the principal's office, Kevin?
Know.
We're
about to, same.
About to be scolded or something. Dr. Shanna joins us in studio. We had her on the phone a couple of months ago, and we scheduled a time for her to come back so we could talk all about OCD and take your questions as well. Yes, it's Ask an OCD Doctor on the Kevin DeBean Show. Dr. Shanna is a doctor of psychology at the UCLA OCD Intensive Treatment Program, and she is a clinical social worker who presents all around the country with workshops and symposiums on OCD and related disorders. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good.
Why do you have a fly swatter with you? First time I've ever asked a guest that question.
Yeah.
She has a giant fly swatter.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. Apparently, I was told we're not allowed to hit our patients when they're not paying attention.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I use a fly swatter to get their attention, especially when they're compulsing.
Do you hit them with it?
No, I just hit the table.
Oh, okay.
Near them to
but
kind
don't act like that's a crazy question. You have a giant fly swatter.
But
safe.
as a professional and a doctor and a good communicator, don't you have ways to get their attention beyond physical? I mean, can't you, or they just don't listen to you? They tune you out at some point.
A good communicator—that's just silly. I'm a woman of few words. No, when someone's in the midst of their compulsions, they're not really paying attention. They're checked out. So. To get them reined back in.
So it sort of shocks them out of not paying attention,
mm-hmm.
basically.
I see. What kind of compulsions do they do in front of you in session?
They'll tap their fingers. They'll say compulsive prayers. They're scanning their hands to see if there are any germs on their hands.
They scan their hands to see if they can see germs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't make sense, but yes.
I feel like a lot of people think they have a little OCD. Is that possible or true?
Probably a little bit. Everyone has unwanted thoughts, images, impulses, urges, and everyone will have some kind of ritualized behavior. But not everyone has the anxiety disorder, which OCD is an anxiety disorder. So the disorder is the key distinction.
And mm-hmm. the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing that. You have to open the door 100 times. Just don't do it. Is that stupid?
No, it's not.
It isn't.
Yes. I tell them stop it, but they don't listen because they're trying to get rid of their anxiety. They're trying to get some kind of certainty. And the goal of treatment is to induce the anxiety for someone to get better and help them to tolerate uncertainty. So if they just shut the door one time, they face their fear of whatever is going to happen.
Oh, I see.
What kind of success rate do you have or does the industry have in being able to, is it fair to say, cure OCD? Can it be done or is it very difficult to do?
Well, there's no cure for the anxiety disorder, but we teach people how to manage and have a very good life. So in terms of treatment in the intensive treatment program, we really try to reduce symptoms by 40 to 50%. And we consider a 6-week, 30 treatment day program to be the beginning of treatment. And these mm-hmm. are for people who are have moderate to severe OCD.
Who's most at risk for OCD? Is it a younger thing, older thing?
oftentimes people could date back their anxiety, some kind of anxiety, to when they're younger. Mm-hmm. But in terms of being at risk, we know that OCD is a neurobehavioral problem. So there's a little glitch in the brain and then something can trigger it, and something that could be perceived as benign by most people.
Is it possible that somebody could be have more anxiety because the doctor they're seeing has a giant fly swatter?
I don't bring it out till the second session.
She locks them in for at least 10 sessions and then brings it out second. How do you diagnose it? Because people sitting at home are thinking, well, I must have it. But there's got to be some sort of guideline. How do you check off and then determine somebody has it?
That is a great question.
Thank you.
So we do a general assessment, of course, and then there's an OC-specific questionnaire. And it's fairly detailed, and it goes over all of the obsessions and all of the compulsions. And there's a general categories, like unwanted thoughts of what if I harm someone, what if I harm myself. Germs are a big topic in OCD, but there's also unwanted sexual thoughts that people have that most people aren't aware of. And then there's the need for symmetry and exactness. And these are just some general categories of obsessions, and then there are compulsions.
What's the biggest category? Is there one?
Most people will hear of the germs, the fear.
You have to
of
wash your hands,
yes,
10 times or whatever. Yeah,
but people will wash their. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I don't. This is fascinating. So people wash their hands and then what?
Well, sometimes it's not because they have a fear of germs. It could be because they have a bad thought or what they perceive to be a bad thought. So they're washing away the thought.
Okay. So in every single instance, it's trying to get rid of the anxiety by whatever they're doing.
Yes, and the obsession. So an obsession basically is an intrusive and bothersome unwanted thought, image, impulse, or urge. And when someone has these things, these obsessions, it triggers anxiety. And then people want to get rid of the anxiety and get rid of the thought that they had.
This is the voice of Dr. Shanna here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to be doing Ask an OCD Doctor next. If you have questions for the doctor about yourself or someone you love and you want to know, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll be taking a series of calls coming up here next. What's the most dangerous OCD compulsion you've seen, doctor?
Very interesting question, or perhaps an interesting response. There are a lot of people, and Freud would have a field day with this, but they want to get rid of their feces, so they'll try to get rid of their poop by sticking objects in them to clean themselves out, and people could bleed, and people have been admitted to the hospital.
So they try to scoop out the poop rather than just waiting for it.
That would be correct.
That's troublesome.
People will inject things into them, or they'll try to cut out things from their skin if they think it's contaminated.
Wow. There must be a certain percentage of patients with OCD who end up in the hospital, end up locked up, right? Because they are too dangerous.
Well, they're not necessarily a danger to other people, or they're not trying to harm themselves. So it's very different. We typically don't lock people up for it
unless they act on it and harm someone.
Which, you know what, when it comes to OCD, I've yet to see that happen. Or someone who's afraid of stabbing someone, I've yet to see that actually happen.
Oh, they that's may, interesting.
Yeah.
So people come in and say, I'm afraid I might stab somebody?
Well, you have to tease it out of them because they're so terrified they're going to be committed when they're really afraid that they're going to do this. So someone who's afraid of stabbing someone or harming someone will start to avoid sharp objects, knives, and so they'll avoid all those things that they could potentially accidentally grab hold of and harm someone.
Wow, and I thought it was just like not walking over a crack in the sidewalk. I thought that
right.
was OCD.
Flipping the light switch on 10 right. times before I leave. But right. it's all things that are leading up to that thing you're fearing you're capable of. So if it's anxiety-driven, is there medication? Is it psychotherapy? How do you treat this?
So there are many medications, and they're about 30-40% effective. So we're not looking at a total elimination of symptoms.
Yeah.
And then there's the behavioral treatment. So the reality is so many people with OCD are highly intelligent. So this disorder defies intelligence. So we treat it behaviorally. If you tell someone who's intelligent, just don't do that. Well, of course they know, but they want to get rid of the anxiety. And so the emotion trumps out the intelligence. So we do exposure and response prevention. We help people face their fears.
Does it make it more difficult to treat because it comes with intelligence?
Sometimes, yes.
Because I would think people go, I'm really smart, so, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have to listen or whatever. And then you end up having a breakthrough with your fly swatter.
Yes,
right.
I do.
All right.
Whatever it takes. All right. We are learning something here today, and we want to learn some more with Dr. Shannon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls next, 1-800-520-1067. Your turn to ask an OCD doctor right after this on K-Rock. All right. Our telephones are blowing up here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. All to talk to our guest, Dr. Shannon. Again, she is a doctor of psychology at the UCLA OCD Intensive Treatment Program and a clinical social worker. Her specialty is OCD. The website is drshannon.com. Let's ask an OCD doctor.
OCD, gonna explain it. We'll take you frame by frame it. So call up and then you could be asking it. Doctors in the house for people scratching temple. But we'll try to keep it so simple. Huh. It's sort of like Beans, Denny's, and IHOP regimen. Or Kevin's daily five pair of underwear. So K and B have a touch of the OCD, but no speculating. We have a doctor explaining. You down with OCD?
Dr. Shannon, you got your own theme song now. How do you feel?
I love it. It's so much better than the song that I sing to some people.
Fantastic. All right. Let's start with, we got some great calls here. Let's start with Jenny in Anaheim. We'll start on a down one, and then we'll move our way up. How about that? Get the depressing one out of the way first, because Jenny may need help immediately. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for calling. You're on with Dr. Shannon.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Good.
Hi.
How can we help?
Hi. I guess I didn't realize that OCD had to do with thoughts. And I've been struggling with this for years now, and I'm actually already diagnosed with generalized anxiety, mm-hmm. but my thought is about death, and I can't, like, every day there's a thought of how am I going to die? Like, is it going to be so random that trees fall on people and they die? And I just think, just like that, it's over, and it's just like this constant thought, like, I could go out to dinner, and I think it might be coupled with PTSD because, you know, I can't sit with my back toward the door. Like, it's just like a constant thought, and I feel like I'm not living my life happily because it's always, like, looming in my head. So is that what that is, or is that more like PTSD? Because my therapist doesn't know how to help me.
Well, so let me just explain that we all have a whole bunch of thoughts, 30 to 80,000 thoughts in a day. A lot of our thoughts are unwanted. So clearly you don't want to have the thought, I could just die at any minute. And that thought triggers anxiety or distress. But when you have that thought and you pay attention to it, all you're going to be doing is thinking about death. Don't think about death. Don't even indulge that thought about death. I'm not going to think about death. Then what you're doing is always thinking about death. So you can't control the pop-in thought, the thought that you didn't want. It's about learning how to not pay attention to it. And that's what treatment is for. It's exposure therapy. Now, PTSD, generalized anxiety disorders, those two disorders are anxiety disorders, just like OCD. So you're going to see a lot of overlap. And the goal of treatment is to tolerate anxiety without trying to get rid of it. The anxiety will eventually come down to a manageable level. But another goal of treatment is to realize that we don't have certainty, and it's learning to feel comfortable with uncertainty and living with doubt, because we really don't know when we're going to
die. She said her therapist doesn't help at all. What should she look for?
Actually, you want to ask a therapist how they treat anxiety disorders. And there are a couple of websites that maybe I could give after, or you guys could post.
Yeah, we'll post.
In the OCD world, that tells you what questions you can ask a therapist. So do they have any experience in treating anxiety disorders? If so, do they know how to do exposure and response prevention? If they don't know what that is, you don't go. Talk
you
therapy
need to move
will
on.
Not work.
So it sounds like what you're saying for what's going on with Jenny, and by the way, I have the exact same thing that Jenny has, obsession with my own death and fear of it, is that you have to accept that those thoughts are always going to be there. It's just you need to figure out a way to put them in some sort of proper perspective so they don't overwhelm you. That sounds like what the goal is of therapy, right?
That is. That's correct.
Okay.
I got to tell you, for a long time, somebody would call in sick and Bean would say, and I always thought he was kidding, what if he's dead? I always thought he was just joking.
It's my first thought.
Wow.
Thank you for the call, Jenny. And we will, you know, we'll put up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, we will post some of these resources that the doctor brought with her today. So we appreciate the call. All right, let's move up to Chatsworth, please. Line one. Let's get Carly on the air with Dr. Shannon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask an OCD doctor. Hi, Carly.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
So,
what's your question?
When you were talking about the categories, I didn't really know that there was categories, but I definitely have, like, unwanted, like, sexual thoughts and a need for, like, symmetry and exactness, but those don't really bother me so much. The one thing that bothers me is the fear of hurting somebody, but not that I'm going to hurt them, but it's a fear as if I don't do a certain thing that something might happen to them. And I know it's stupid, and I know it doesn't make any sense, and I know it probably doesn't matter, but I would just rather do it in case something happened. And that's before I leave the house or before I go to sleep at night, I have to mentally blow a kiss to everybody in the house and picture them while I'm doing it. And then I have to blow a mental kiss for the house overall. And if I mess up or if I don't think about their face like exactly, then I have to start over. And it's just like one of those really annoying things that I just want to stop doing. Do you think that's something I need to seek help for? Is there an easier way?
There's no easy way. Ultimately, the goal of treatment is to have you stop blowing these kisses because, as far as I know, in science states, that's not how we protect people.
But she knows that. She knows right. It doesn't do anything, but she can't stop the mental kisses.
Because she's afraid she'll be responsible for something bad happening. And this is quite common. And so for her, it's reassurance, but it's not going to guarantee the outcome. So in treatment, it would be to stop the compulsions, or if she engages in a compulsion and blows a kiss, she erases it and kind of contaminates it, if you will, and kind of says
so here's opposite. My question, because if I was her, I would wonder at what point does that anxiety become unmanageable so I could be diagnosed with an OCD and seek treatment, or do you just get to the point where that's it? That's all I can think about. And then you can't go to bed. You start having problems with sleep, that type of thing. How do you diagnose the manageability, I guess?
Well, with that scale that I talked about earlier, it's called the Yale Brown Obsessive Compulsive Scale. We also rate the severity of it. So if someone's compulsing 5 minutes a day, okay, big deal. There's no real interference. But if someone's blowing kisses and then she has to have this particular image and everything has to be right and things need to quote unquote feel right, she could do it for 10 minutes and then 10 minutes no longer feels right. Right. And then it keeps going and going and going. And then you're not getting
spend your
sleep.
Whole night in rituals.
Yes. And that's when you need to seek treatment. If things are kind of just status quo, yeah, you can go in for a few sessions of treatment and practice. Mm-hmm. But once you start the exposure therapy, you want to be committed to it. And it's not a forever treatment, fortunately. If you try to stop the compulsions but don't, it just sends the message to the brain that I must compulse based on this fear.
Mm.
Reinforcing.
You know, if nothing else comes out of this conversation today, Dr. Shanna, for me, it's that there's nothing that you can just say to somebody that's going to make whatever their OCD go away. It sounds like it's a long process, and it definitely does take some work that you have to be serious about if you want to get some relief, right?
Absolutely. It does take a lot of work. It defies the person's logic. But treatment is not forever. As a clinician, it's my goal to teach people how to tolerate anxiety and give them the skill set of experiencing just regular human emotions and letting them pass. But what people do is they cater to what their mind spits out. So I have a thought, I think, therefore I am, or I think, therefore I'm going to do. And this is called a thought-action fusion. And just because we have a thought doesn't make for a fact, or it doesn't mean that whatever you fear will actually happen. Bad things do happen, but it's not whether or not you blow a kiss.
Right. That's interesting. Let me ask you one final question, Dr. Shannon, from me, and that is, what is it that attracts you to this field of medicine?
Well... Well, when I came, I went to go get my doctorate, and I had moved to the East Coast and worked at a federal prison, and I wanted to come back to California, and there was a job opening in the OCD clinic. I'm like, I don't even know what the heck that is. So I interviewed.
Sweet, good.
I mean, I know what it is.
So far, so good.
I mean, I know what I knew what it was, but like, what
did
that
mean? And then I faked them into believing I knew something about OCD.
No, anyone could learn how to treat it. But I ended up getting this job. I wanted to return to UCLA. And so because I was so committed to working at UCLA and I had a long history of working at UCLA, they hired me. And I caught on to it very quickly. I've always been more cognitive behavioral in my approach. And so I got lucky.
So you basically just studied it and made it kind of the focus of your professional life and got to the point now where now you can really help people.
Yes. And heaven knows I have no anxiety myself. I'm like the perfect specimen.
That's what Bean was going for.
Yeah. Ah, I knew that.
Are you super anxious and you learned how to control it? Now you want to help other people.
It's not why I got into the field, but when I started working there, I thought, were they hiring me to work there or were they admitting me to be a patient?
All right. Let me give out this on the air, drshanna.com. And if you go to the, that's where you can go for more information about the doctor. And if you go to the Kevin Bean Facebook page, we have a bunch of the resources that you brought in for us today that can, that people can use for further exploration about their obsessive compulsive disorder. This was super fun, and nobody got hit with a fly swatter, so I feel pretty good about that.
Me too.
Doctor, great to have you, and thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you. You down with OCD? Yeah,
you know me. Jim Rome talks sports in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. And speaking of sports, very special guest, manager of the Dodgers, Don Mattingly, will be joining us next hour. And at 9 o'clock, more tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. We're talking about backstage passes and in the pit. It's all coming up on K-Rock.
Did you see that famed physicist Stephen Hawking says that computers will overtake human beings?
I didn't need to see that because I saw Ex Machina and the humans are already losing to the artificial intelligence robot. So it's happening now, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the same movie. It's awesome, but it's
That's where we're look, you build robots, they can think faster and smarter and better than you can. And as Dr. Hawking points out, we need to be careful the way we're programming these things, as he says, to make sure the computers have goals aligned with ours, because otherwise they might start thinking their own thoughts. They got a better way to do things, and boom, next thing you know, no humans.
Yeah, that seems bad.
It's a very real possibility, by the way. I know you think it's just a movie. It could really happen. No joke.
I do think it's pretty much just a movie, Bean. Do we need to call the doc back in?
No. Look, what Stephen Hawking is saying is that sometime in the next 100 years, artificial intelligence is going to take over humans. And I think that's a very real possibility. But don't listen to me. Let's listen to the smartest man in the world, Dr. Stephen Hawking, who joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hi, doctor. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, and a lot of people are taking note of the interview that you did with Tech World about the artificial intelligence. Could you tell us a little bit more about where you're coming from, sir?
Yes, absolutely. In the next century, computers and robots with artificial intelligence will take over humanity.
Now, what does that mean, take over humanity?
They will be smarter than us, more capable than us. We will be a lesser species, and they will be dominant.
So kind of like Planet of the Apes. Basically, what you're saying is that one time they're our servants, and soon they become our masters.
More like Age of Ultron.
Well, there's that.
Ultron is a badass mother humper.
True.
I love that movie.
I bet you do.
I'm now building my own robot so I can download my mental capacity into it.
Is that the best idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I will live forever and lord over you.
Okay,
you
so
said
you're
lord
our robot
overlord.
Yes, I will be your robot overlord.
I see.
My brain, in connection with artificial intelligence, will make me the most superior creature on the planet.
But couldn't any human around just flip the off switch, though? Isn't that the one thing we do have is we can just turn you off?
He finds that funny.
Like I will have an off switch.
Oh, I see. That's the way you're going to build it. So,
stupid
what do you,
human.
What do you think the robots will do to us? I mean, like, how will they want to run the world once they've beaten us?
One second. I need to talk to my crew that is building the robot.
Oh, okay. Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
Make the penis bigger, please. Thank you. Okay, where were we?
Why does the robot need a penis?
Why do you need a penis?
Well, because we're humans and we have partners.
I'm going to have many partners when I am the robot overlord, starting with that Victoria Beckham.
Really?
I'll show her who's hot stuff.
That's an unusual choice.
I am going to wreck the Spice Girls one by one.
But starting with her.
Yes.
I did see.
Once I have her, the others will follow. You must attack the leader first.
And you go after Posh because she's the little one, right? Well, you can take her down fast.
Yes, and also that David Beckham is always being told how hot and attractive he is. I will destroy him when I am the robot overlord.
I did see that you ran into David Beckham and you said, I'm always being compared to you.
Yes, ha.
Right. So
David
is this
Beckham
is
with
this
his legs and his walking? I'll teach him when I have robot sex with his wife in front of his broken legs. I will roll. I will roll. Exterminate. 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 That was my Dalek impression.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Our friend Jim Rome after the top of the hour. Ralph Garman is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a
Thursday.
You okay, sport?
Thursday.
Whatever day of the week it is, that's where we are right now on the show with Ralph and the showbiz beat.
Healthiest man in the room.
Yeah.
I am so
down. You are going down.
Well, I just, I temporarily.
To Chinatown.
I'm okay. I temporarily forgot what day of the week it was.
Right, well, but then I immediately said healthy. Thursday, and you ignored it.
I didn't ignore it so much as I just had to process it, the information in my head, and then get all the days in the right order.
Hey, healthy guy, that's one of the questions they ask you after you stroke out when you're laying there on the ground. And the EMTs come to you, they say, what day of the week is it? That's one of the tests.
Did I tell you guys that when I fell off the stage at Acoustic Christmas this year... And the paramedics came and they got me and they took me from the ambulance. They asked me, do you know who the president is? And I was fine. I was totally alert and awake. Mm-hmm. But I said Rutherford B. Hayes just to be funny. And the look on their face was hilarious. And then I said, no, I'm just kidding. It was Barack Obama. I just thought it would be funny because they always ask that question. I thought, let's give them a president they don't expect.
But they were trying to help you.
I know.
They should have smothered you with a pillow. What they should have done.
It's not how often you get a chance to pull out Rutherford B. Hayes.
You should never, really.
Okay.
Never.
All right. Back to you, Ralph.
First, Millard Fillmore is the comedy go-to.
That is the comedy president.
So,
but I feel like he's overexposed. He's overexposed.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to Millard Fillmore. I feel like that's so, the 2000.
So
that's
it's
all.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
First of
for
all.
For a Friday.
Last night. Nashville, right? Who's
right?
with me?
Yes.
Unbelievable. First of all, Deacon having all those death dreams. Scary as hell,
like,
right?
Like, started with the death dreams.
Wait, did he get a liver?
Avery's the best dad ever. Secondly.
Did he get his liver?
And thirdly, now you're interested. Mom. Oh, now all of a sudden you're interested, Kevin. Aren't you going to write little notes to your friend Chip there and have a good time?
Yesterday you wanted Deacon dead. Now all of a sudden you care that
he lived. Did he get his liver?
His sister showed up to donate part of her liver, and they were...
Spoiler alert, everybody. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it.
Well, that was the last week's episode. She showed up.
Right.
Okay. All right. I know what you're saying.
And so they're going through the procedure.
Okay.
On last night's show. And that's all you know, actually. That's all you need to know. It's all you know. All right. We'll have to wait till the beginning of next season to find out what happened.
Oh, it's going
to
kill me.
All I know is Doctor pulled Raina out of the room, said... I've got some bad news. Ba ba ba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's dead. Is
or,
it Deacon?
Or
is it the sister?
Or not interested.
What?
Or is there something wrong with her liver?
And before
See?
He had had the right? tests come back and say, you're not viable to be
See?
On the transplant list anymore. Thank
right.
God your sister's donating.
See? You don't know. You don't know, man.
Oh, no.
So that's the first programming note. Second programming note, I don't know how this came in under the radar.
Okay.
Monday night. Return of the Bachelor. Oh. The two-night season opener starts
is
Monday
this
night.
This coming Monday night?
Really?
Tuesday night.
But I feel
boom,
like the,
boom,
the Bachelor
punch,
just,
punch.
Just ended like 2 weeks ago.
You are wrong, sir. It's the double Bachelorette, first of all. It's Britt.
That's right.
And other one, rapper, Rappy Bachelorette. It's Rappy Bachelorette and Britt Bachelorette.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb, and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Fly and download Rapids. My heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
I always love that clip because you think the girl is the worst ever, yeah, and then he starts rapping. You go, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. She's not bad.
Yeah. So.
Wait, do they duke it out, the two bachelorettes?
We live in exciting times. No, you know, little Miss McKay, no.
First episode, I heard.
The gentlemen decide which of the bachelorettes they want to pursue.
Okay.
How about that?
And then one's booted off?
Yes.
She doesn't get enough votes?
Yes. If all the guys in the cocktail party say, we want that one, the other one goes, see ya. Crying in the limo.
It's rude.
It is way rude. Oh. Cannot wait.
Oh, my God. Stop talking.
Right?
Okay.
Right?
Huh. Will you shut up?
Just saying.
Stop talking.
Bachelorette's a very popular program.
There isn't enough booze in the world to get me over how sad I am right now.
I'm going to tell you like this. If you don't shut your ass up, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
What are you telling me?
You can die.
Wow. That is inappropriate, Kevin, and HR will be hearing from me. The Simpsons have lost one of the major players on that TV show. Just after the exciting news they've been renewed for two additional seasons, comes word that Larry's going to be there, but Harry Shearer could not come to contractual agreement with the producers and with Fox, so he's going to exit the show. That means The Simpsons lose the voice of Mr. Burns and Ned Flanders and Dr. Hibbert and Kent Brockman and Reverend Lovejoy and Principal Skinner and Smithers. Not to mention about 20 other characters. How will they recover?
I have no idea, Simpson.
How will they?
How will they do that?
How will they ever be Oakley Doakley? I have no idea.
I don't know anybody else that can do those voices.
I don't either.
If only there was somebody in Hollywood that The Simpsons could call and bring in to replace Harry Shearer. Somebody who does a lot of cartoon voices.
If only God could show them the way.
And this new Britney Spears song,
it's got to be put down, right?
Can you put a song down?
Pretty Girls. Iggy Azalea.
We got to try, Kevin. We got to try.
Britney Spears. Their video was released yesterday. You want to hear a little bit of the song? Here's a little Pretty Girls.
Do you want the acting or the song?
The song.
Okay.
You know I want the song? Because I said, you want to hear a little of the song? That's how you knew probably
yeah,
I wanted the
to
piece
that part
of song. Britney should get on her knees and thank God every day that auto-tune was ever invented. Because, boy, do they just take a big old butter knife and just smear auto-tune all over her vocals every time she records.
Yeah.
But the video...
She's not Kelly Clarkson, if that's what you're saying.
The video... Forget about the song. The video... The reason you watch the video is for the acting. Because Britney is a girl in the 80s who takes an alien from another planet under her wing and teaches her how to be a valley girl.
Right.
Hilarity ensues with these two high-powered comedic actresses at the top of their game. Where do you see Iggy Azalea playing an alien trying to impersonate an 80s valley girl with Britney showing her the way? Get these to a sitcom, stat!
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah.
It's not it, is it?
No.
Hi, girls.
Hey, me. Who's the new hottie?
Yeah, she looks like totally far out.
She is. She's like totally from another planet.
Totally.
No way.
This phone is totally broken.
I can totally fix it for you.
Fix it for me.
And she fixes the phone. And she calls.
Those are
girlfriend.
Radical alien powers.
Yeah. Let me call your friend.
Okay.
Totally. Hello, girls. Where I totally, like, totally coming over right now.
Let's go.
So that's a thing.
It is brutal.
Wow.
It's, yeah.
So that's.
Yep.
Let me ask you guys a question, too, because it drives me crazy. When they put those skits at the beginning of a song and they don't separate the tracks, So if you're listening to it in your iPod or wherever, you have to listen to the skit or fast forward. Mm-hmm. That's so annoying.
Well, you'll be happy to know this one's buried in the middle of the song.
Oh,
so there's no way to get around it.
In the middle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like the chewy poop center of a really bad Charms blow pop.
Kevin, you did set up your statement with, let me ask you guys a question. I'm curious what your question
When's
was.
When's that coming?
Doesn't that drive you guys crazy?
Yes. Yeah, it's bad. Okay. It's bad.
There really was no question there, was there? Today's celebrity birthday is George Lucas. You know him. He did all those things. 71 years old today. David Byrne of Talking Heads is 63, as is director Robert Zemeckis, the man who gave us Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Tim Roth is 54. Cece DeVille of Poison's 53. Danny Wood from New Kids is 46. Sofia Coppola turns 44 years old today. Dan Auerbach's 36. Uriah Faber, who fights this Saturday night, he is 36 years old as well. Amber Tamblyn's 32. And Mark Zuckerberg, he's 31. He created Facebook. A pox on him for all his days. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
He is going to be very happy to hear that producer Dave Sanchez, his mortal enemy, just left the studio, so you don't have to worry about him today. Our friend Jim Rome on the line, 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime. Mr. Rome, how are you this week? What's going on, sir?
Hey, great, guys, great. Sanchez is not my mortal enemy. He's like the reason I'm on this show, right? I'm all good with the kid. I'm good with the kid. He's the Sanchez.
Well, I'm actually glad Dave's not here, because we've been giving him a very hard time this week because, you know, we don't exactly have Clipper fever, but they are a local team, and they are advancing in the playoffs, and they're looking pretty good. So all of us, Ralph and Kevin and me and Allie, we've all tuned in to watch some Clipper basketball this year, and it has left these reviewers wanting. There's so much hack-a-shacking going on. There's so many fouls that slow down the game that basketball is becoming very difficult to watch, Jim. Are we wrong about that?
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. But the good news is the NBA GMs had their annual meeting yesterday, and they talked about that very topic. And it turns out there is no overwhelming consensus to do anything about it. It looks like we're stuck with it right now. They don't want to change the rules. They should change the rules. They need to change the rules, but they're not going to, apparently.
Now, you're saying change the rules so that you can't intentionally foul somebody? That specific one?
Yeah, what I'm saying is don't start hacking guys up. Like, take DeAndre Jordan, right?
Right.
The guy's a freak, great player. And it's one thing if you want to foul this guy with 3 minutes left in the game, but the other night, Houston was putting him on the line 3 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
All right, that's unwatchable. Even the Rockets themselves are saying, man, I don't like doing that. That's coach's prerogative, but, I mean, it's not exactly a real macho play, is it? It's unwatchable. It's bad for the game. But they're not going to change the rule.
It's crazy, though. They would. It's crazy because they said there's not enough support to change it, as you mentioned, Jim. But then they add, it's one of those things where the perception is bigger than the reality. But the reality is we're fans of sports who turned on our TVs and then got bored with it. That's the actual reality that has to be going on across this country.
Yeah, let me give you reality. It sucks. You can't watch it. I mean, you're turning games into 3.5-hour affairs. And if you're fouling a guy 3 minutes in, it's going to take 3 weeks to finish that game. And then the series is going to take 3 months. So I'll give you reality. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to watch it. I mean, the fact is, I have no idea, guys, why guys like that can't make 50% of their free throws. I just know this. None of us want to watch them not being able to make 50% of their free throws. It's broken. Fix it.
And the other topic that came up this week about the Clippers is, what's your read, Jim? You happen to be based in Southern California. Are you detecting any kind of a serious buzz on the Clippers this year, as I expected there would be this deep into the playoffs?
More and more. I mean, it's still a Laker town, even though they seem like they're irrelevant. I mean, they got here first. They've dominated for so long. It's still a Laker town. It probably will be for the foreseeable future, but they're coming now. I mean, there certainly is a buzz. They're playing as well as anybody. I think they finished the Rockets in Game 6. Hell, I hope the Rockets even show up for Game 6 because they haven't yet at Staples. But there is more and more buzz, but it's not going to happen overnight. And you guys know how this town is. I grew up in L.A. I love L.A. It's not a great sports town. It's a great front-running town. And as soon as the Clippers are the thing and they're hot, people will jump on board. But it's happening. It's happening.
Right. All right, let me ask you one more NBA question, and that is, how is it possible that two teams in the playoffs are losing or winning by 30 points at this point in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. I mean, you look at the Rockets and the Clippers especially. The Rockets were losing by 30 because they laid down and quit. That'll happen. If you stop playing, you'll lose by 30. That Memphis-Golden State series is really interesting, though. I mean, you never know game to game exactly what's going to happen. It's a weird deal. You would think that the games would be a lot closer, but some of them are blowouts. But man, just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah.
If it's inevitable, enjoy the ride.
Jim, what's better than playoff hockey?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Thanks for
NHL playoffs. Thank you for asking. The NHL playoffs is the best thing in sports. I love the NCAA tournament. I love all sports, but people who don't understand hockey don't know this. The NHL postseason is better than the NBA postseason, the NFL postseason. It just is, because every single game, every single shift, everything matters. And if you saw Game 7 last night and the Rangers getting over, you can't argue that.
No, it's overtime Game 7, seriously. Amazing.
How do you see the playoffs going with Anaheim and Chicago?
You know, it's one of those deals where do I go with my head or do I go with my heart? You know, my heart tells me go with the Ducks. I don't.
My
root,
heart
but...
tells me go with the Hawks.
Okay, my head tells me go with the Hawks. My heart says Ducks. Hey, look, I don't root ever, but I want the Ducks to win. I want the Cup to stay here in SoCal. Mm. But my head tells me Chicago is the best team left in the playoffs. They're going to get it done because they're so talented, they're so experienced. Nothing intimidates them. Anaheim's a lot like Sanchez. They like to throw their size and weight around and punish people and lean on them. Except that's not going to bother Chicago, just like it doesn't bother people when Sanchez does it. Because Chicago's been there before.
Yeah.
You can't intimidate them. So I'm going to tell you, if you ask me for a prediction, and I'm going to put my name to it, I'll take Chicago, but I want the Ducks.
And I have a Ducks question for you as well, Mr. Rome. We had Ryan Getzlaff on the program with us yesterday, and he's one of the best players in hockey. He's already won a Stanley Cup. He's won a couple of gold medals in the Olympics. We're still allowed to feel a tiny bit superior if we have luscious heads of hair, though, right?
No, dude, you're not. I mean, you had no say in that. The guy's playing the hand he was dealt. Hey, what, I'm better than him. I have hair. He doesn't.
But
good take, man.
You, for instance, Jim, have fantastic hair. I would think that you would be allowed more than anyone.
Man, yeah, that's my calling card. I got hair and you don't. Yeah, man. Yeah, great. You have game, and you're a professional hockey player, and you have the life that we all want, but damn, man, you're bald. You're a loser.
Don't
throw the lettuce card at this guy, man. Come on. You wouldn't trade your hair to be in his spot.
I guess Sanchez would say.
Yeah, true.
All right, last question, Jim, because I know we're almost out of time.
We have all the time in the world.
We won't. You got to be on the air at 9 here. We won't bore everybody by revisiting the Tom Brady report that we all heard about this week. But my question for you is, how does the appeal process work, and when will we know something about whether this 4 games and the fine and the money and the draft picks and everything all stands?
Now, that's a good question. Depends how they go about it. I mean, if Bob Kraft actually, and there's been talk that he might try to sue the league, if something like that went down, that would take, like, not days, not weeks, not months, but literally years. But the appeal process is going to start, and it seems to me like the Patriot Nation was so upset that he got 4 games and was $1 million and 2 draft picks. No way that sticks. They've got this legal team assembled, and you have to think that if the NFL starts at 4 games, they know it won't stick. They want to get to 2 games. I think it gets halved. I think that maybe there's even speculation he might not be suspended at all. It's going to happen sooner than later, but I think it's going
to
change.
Is that a smart PR move to stay out of the press and not refute anything?
No. And that's the worst thing of all. I mean, if this guy didn't do it, right? Like, we're led to believe he didn't do it, and somebody accused me of cheating, man, I'd look for the highest rooftop in the world, and I would be screaming everybody down, looking to sue anybody who moved. The fact that this guy's saying nothing at all makes me think he did it. He knew about it. He's a cheater. I mean, if you didn't do it, why would you not defend yourself? Bad plan.
Well, I mean, I'm sure at the advice of his attorneys, I'm sure that they think somehow this is a safe thing, or maybe they're saving what they have for the appeal with the league. I don't know, but this is definitely a story.
If my attorney, if I didn't do it, and they alleged that I did, and they suspended me and smashed my team like that, and my attorney said, hey, keep your mouth shut, I'd say you're fired. Find somebody else to represent. I didn't do anything. So find me a microphone, find me a camera so I can get in front of it and let everybody know that I'm not the cheater that they're smashing me for. I can't believe, I mean, everybody else is talking. The guy's dad, the team, his agent. He's the only guy not talking, and he's the guy it happened to.
Yep, true enough.
Bad luck.
Jim Rome,
bad luck.
9 to noon, AM 980, The Beast. Jim Rome on Showtime as well. We enjoyed it, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thanks so much.
See you next week, guys.
News.
What was that?
I said, when can we see Muse, man? Oh. It's been too long. Like, when, ever, are we going to get a chance to see that great band in concert again?
Day after tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They're playing the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2015 along with about 12 other great bands of the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. We got tickets and backstage passes for you coming up just after 9 o'clock. And the manager of Los Doyers, Don Mattingly, joins us in about 10 minutes as well.
Saw this headline, USC has a selfie class. And I thought, that's weird.
That's what the world has come to, huh?
And then you look a little more into it. It's more of a writing class. It's like Writing 150, Writing and Critical Reasoning. And they sort of have just renamed it a selfie class. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is purely a selfie class, but we did have Dave try to line us up somebody.
But I guess they think, you know, they write these course descriptions in the syllabus, whatever, to try to get people interested in taking the classes. And I guess, I mean, wouldn't that catch the attention of a lot of 18-year-olds as, oh, my God, a selfie class. That sounds like fun. Sign me up for that.
Well, I would just think that's an easy A.
Right. Exactly. So you get in there and then you find out it's a writing class. But what are you saying? Dave said there are other selfie classes?
Yes. We actually have a professor at the Barbizon Technical Institute.
All right. This is Professor Brittany Saperstein who joins us, who apparently also teaches a selfie class at that school. Hi, Professor. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, you guys.
How are you today? Good?
I am doing so good. I am so excited about my selfie class.
A selfie. Now, your selfie class is like USC's in that it's really just a clever title and it's actually a writing class, right?
Gross. No. My class is all about living your life. Mm-hmm. Like, every selfie you take is going to make history.
Okay, so it's purely selfies then?
Yeah. So a lot of selfies have been making the news recently for mm-hmm. all the wrong reasons. I'm going to teach you how to not only take the best selfies, mm-hmm. but how they will make history.
So is part of the interest in the subject with your students, they look at somebody like Kim Kardashian, who's just been taking selfies for years, and now all of a sudden she's got a huge best-selling book out and is making $1 million?
Exactly. But a lot of people don't know how to do that for themselves. And that's why I have this class, and it's basically the ABCs of selfies.
Okay.
All right.
Do you
ready?
Have some tips you can share with our listeners?
Yeah. A, angles. So I don't know if you saw in the news, this guy is just walking around, and then he's like, oh, my God, look at all those cameras pointing upwards, and a guy was jumping off a bridge. So selfie, right?
Selfie.
Take a selfie with the guy on the bridge.
So
right?
you turn around and get a selfie with you in the guy jumping off the
of
bridge.
A guy trying to commit suicide? It
yeah.
seems like maybe that's not the focus of that moment.
Exactly.
Is to take a picture of yourself.
The angle is wrong. Because you'd no. be shooting up and you'd be like, oh my God, you have so many chins. You would never,
yeah, no.
ever take that selfie.
Yeah, okay. Don't take that selfie because there's a man who might die because it's inappropriate and crass.
Or the angle.
Well, you don't want to take a selfie from a low angle. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or do you guys remember those women in New York that were like, oh my God, that building just exploded. Let's take a selfie. It was dusk, so you can't negate the lighting. It was just awesome. So they took a selfie, right?
Right. But the bigger point is that it was a gas explosion that leveled a place where people live.
No, it was because they all were wearing the same jacket, and no one had a pop of color, so definitely don't take a selfie in that situation
okay.
either. But how, if they did have a pop of color, could they have gotten around it and had a great selfie? Good question, radio guys.
But that's not the point.
So what I do if I take a selfie that I'm like, oh, I don't look that great, if I have a quote that's super deep. Like a lot of times I'll use like one of those Marilyn Monroe quotes, like her I Have a Dream speech. Just put something there.
That wasn't Marilyn Monroe.
Awesome. And then it's a great selfie.
That
right?
wasn't Marilyn Monroe.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King. Are you sure you're actually a professor? Is this Barbizon Technical Institute real?
Where do you teach, radio guy?
Well, we don't. I
yeah,
mean,
radio
don't
guy. Where do
we
you
having,
teach?
We were having you on because you were the professor. We thought you knew something about selfies. It sounds like you know nothing about anything.
So angles.
Angles. A. That was important, yes.
B. Be deep.
Be deep. Okay.
Okay.
Deep.
B.
Right. C.
Courtney.
Courtney. What yeah. does that mean?
I have a friend, Courtney. She's not really hot. So if you take a picture with Courtney, it's always going to be awesome because she's ugly. Yeah?
It's a good tip. I want to tell you, Kevin, a little story about a man who has dedicated his life to the great game of baseball through Little League and high school, college, couple of years in the minors, then an all-star 13-year career with the New York Yankees, and then you become a coach, and then you become a coach with the Dodgers, and for 4 years he's been the manager of the Dodgers. He's given his whole life to the game, and yesterday a third base umpire says, no more baseball for you. Sit down, sir. You are gone. I am asking you to leave this game. Get off the field. Don Mattingly, that's got to hurt. How did that feel, sir? What happened?
just frustration. We've had our issues with replay this year, and so I think it just came to a boil over there last night, and Yeah, so that's just, it just happens during the game. You get emotional, you're trying to win a game, and you get frustrated.
Look, I know that you may have your hands tied a little bit in what you can say. You don't want to be too critical of the system, but you raised some excellent points when you've been asked about the instant replay system before. How do they get it wrong when everybody sitting in the stadium can see the same replay they can see, and it's clear that the ball is trapped and not caught? You're on the right side of history. How can they not see that? I don't understand how they can make a mistake. That's what instant replays is about.
Yeah, that's my point. I think the one thing I don't like is the language of, you know, too close to overturn, or, you know, you can't overturn it, it's got to stand, things like that. To me, I want the umpires in New York that see to have 14 views and all the angles to just say safe or out, catch or no catch, and then keep it as simple as that. That's my biggest issue, is that they don't need to know what the call was or who's challenging. All they need to know is just look at the play, keep it simple. Do you catch it or not catch it? And then whatever they rule there dictates, is it a stand, is it an overturn, whatever that is.
Yeah, it should be a blind call. How is that not a thing?
Well, in the other sports, it matters a lot. What they call on the field matters a lot. Do you have enough to overturn it? You're saying right. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They always say they want to get it right, and that's the thing. If it's, that's a tough call last night. And all the ones that you review, they're really close. You know, and they're all going to be bang bang. But what you do want is to get it right. So
that's right.
To be able to fall back on, oh, it was too close to overturn. That's the part that if you know it bounced, he didn't catch it.
Yeah,
period.
Agreed.
You know,
agreed.
It's that simple.
So do you like when you get thrown out of a game, like in the instance of last night, do you accept that and think that's fair and right, or do you think that's just adding insult to injury?
I don't know. It's just part of the game. I don't think you look at it as fair or right. I got to keep myself under control. I get frustrated. So if part of it's on me. I got to keep myself in a game. Those times
gotcha.
You get thrown out, all you're doing really is protecting your players.
Gotcha.
You got to keep your guy from being thrown out, or if he's, you know, attacking one of your guys, you're not going to let that happen. So you're basically protecting your players most of the time. And with replay, it's really taking the arguing with umpires kind of out of it, because once they say it's safe or out, then there's nothing more really for you to say. And that's where I went over the line last night.
Understood, sir. All right, let me ask you this question. This is the voice of Don Mattingly, manager for the first place Los Angeles Dodgers, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a person, a Dodger fan, that we talk to on our show from time to time, and it's hilarious to talk to her because she believes, as a Dodger fan who's grown up watching the team, that she can manage the team better than you or anybody in history who's ever managed the team. And I bet that's got to be one of the great downsides of your job, is that you can't go to the Safeway on the weekend without running into somebody who'll tell you, oh, you shouldn't have pulled that guy. Oh, you shouldn't have sat in a pinch hitter for that guy. What's that like to have everybody think from their armchair they can do your job, Don?
That's nice.
It's nice. I was not expecting that.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's nice. I know everybody can manage, and everybody has an opinion on it. That's part of this job, is basically having to listen to that, or really trying to not listen to that, because you have to keep your mind as try to keep it as clear as possible, make good baseball decisions, not get involved with the emotional side of what people think, or what a talk show or a website thinks, and things like that. You know your club better than anybody else. You know there's certain reasons you make – certain times you make decisions based on this guy has to be in the game because the other guy can't be, or he's more rested and things like that. And that's where there people really don't know all the ins and outs.
Have you had to learn that? Are you better at that now than you were at the beginning?
Well, taking criticism is always, you know, nobody really wants to hear it. You know, you don't want people coming down on you. But I think as a player, you have to learn to filter it out, right, and really put pressure on yourself. I always said it as a player. You put so much pressure on yourself to be really good, and you have high expectations of yourself. So if you're not playing well and people are criticizing you, you should really be the first one to know. And if there's mistakes that I've made on the field and things that I would do differently, I'm the first one to know. So when somebody says, hey, you should have done this,
yeah,
if they're right, I know it.
Right.
You know, I could be easy for me to say, you know what, I should have done that. But if not, I look at it realistically and go, you know, that just because that decision didn't work out doesn't mean it wasn't the right one.
Right. And you have a thicker skin than most from all those years of playing in New York. I mean, how many times did you probably see yourself on the back page of the Post or the Daily News making some snarky comment? I mean, that kind of builds you up after a while, right?
Well, yes, I see myself enough on there that things you don't want to hear. But, I mean, it's just part of professional sports. And I think, obviously, it's growing. It's gotten more critical. There's so many, you know, the blogs and things like that. But that's just part of it. And if you don't learn to be able to move on with it, then you end up driving yourself crazy.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about everybody's favorite, multiple Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw, who's had a rough 2015. I know that it only takes one game to turn one of these guys around. I mean, you see what's going on with Sabathia in New York. We saw Corey Kluber yesterday, who hadn't won a game for the Indians all year long, threw 18 strikeouts yesterday. So it only takes one good outing to kind of get over the hump. But what's it like in the locker room with Clayton, with the struggles that he's had? I mean, does he get a lot of support from the guys, or is he sitting by himself weeping every night now?
No, he definitely gets support. And I think, again, what we went back and talked about a while ago, he gets a realistic look at what's going on. Did he make good pitches? Did he not make good pitches? Am I preparing properly? He has to be able to answer all those questions with himself. And, you know, before the last game, I think he was leading the league in strikeouts. So it's telling you that his stuff is still the same. A lot of things are still going really well. The wins and losses have not went well, and there's certain pitches in the game or certain times that have not went his way this year. And that's just something that you have to realistically look at. Hey, I made a bad pitch there. Or that guy hit a good pitch. I made a good pitch. But, these guys are professionals, too. They're driving nice cars and living in big houses, too. So, you know, you have to give the other guy credit at times. So with Clayton, you know, he's just going to keep working forward. If it went good, he puts that behind him and goes forward and keeps working because he knows the next game is the only one he can control. And the same way, if it goes bad, you got to put it behind you, get ready for the next start, and know that my process was good.
Good. So you're not worried. I'm glad to hear that. One of our listeners writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, please ask Don when he's going to grow back the Metting stash. Apparently he misses the old look.
I saw a picture of your son tweeted it, that he's keeping on with the tradition. What's going on? Bring back the glory of that stash.
It's not as glorious as it looked in those days, maybe. It's all white and gray, and maybe you all know, you know, as you get older, it's not necessarily looking quite like you thought it looked before. So
not everyone's Tom Selleck, that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
All right, Don, I know we're almost out of time. I know we're almost out of time. We're going to have to let you go, but gosh, we're so excited to have you on. I want to ask you one final question, sir, and that is, it's personal. What is it about baseball that makes a guy give his life to it? What is it that you love and apparently still love about the game?
I think you love the competition of it, and it's something, there's a thrill to playing it and trying to play it to a level that, you know, you feel like is, you know, one of the top echelons in the world, and then to be involved with it. And for me now as a coach, it's really teaching, and I love to be able to teach the game, to be able to talk the game with players, to be able to help their careers. And so you love to just kind of continue to give back. In the same breath, I want to, you know, be able to kind of try and start. I got an RBI league back in Evansville in my hometown that we're starting, where you're teaching young kids to play and getting them involved in the game. There's so many lessons to me from baseball that in competition that, I don't know, I think it's a beautiful game, and I love being able to give back to it and teach and hopefully help us win a championship here in L.A.
Well, you're doing a beautiful job. Congratulations on being first place in the NL Western Division. Of course, you got the Rockies in town starting today. And a quick reminder, Los Angeles Dodgers old-timers game is going to be this Saturday night. Go to dodgers.com/old-timers game. All the greats are going to be, well, a lot of them. Fernando Valenzuela, Earl Hershiser, Ron Say will be there, Davey Lopez, Rick Mundy. The list goes on and on and on. Sounds like it's going to be a super fun day, and it starts early at 4 o'clock on Saturday. You're welcome anytime, Coach. We really enjoyed talking to you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So I did my best not to say his name.
Wise decision on your part, sir.
Because this happened.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And speaking of sports, we're going to talk to the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Try not to call him Dong when we get him on. All right?
He totally thought you missed it.
I'll make a note. But just Don is fine.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That was good times. Great to talk to Mr. Mattingly as
Dong.
Well. Hey, Hey, are we opening up the phones here? Are we opening them? Is that what we're doing here?
Open them up. Spread them wide. Spread those phones wide open. Take it all in.
They're available for people to call in, Ralph. That's as far as we need to say.
That's all I'm saying.
Sold out K-Rock Weedy Roast EPS to 2015.
Stretch it open, those phone lines. I want them gaping. I want those phone lines to be gaping.
I want them open.
I want the phone lines
open.
Can you please open the lines?
They can't be more open.
I need it. I need it so
their
bad.
Their legs are already behind their ears, Ralph. They can open them
open.
No more.
All right.
Anyway, it's backstage passes and tickets in the pit. You will have to earn them, though. You're going to be playing a game. So if you know and love the music of the bands that are going to be performing, you can call us now. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. Your chance to win. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
CBS announced its fall schedule yesterday, and they said Supergirl will get the prime spot kicking off Monday nights this fall.
All right.
I think that puts it up against Gotham, if I'm not mistaken. We have a battle of superhero shows.
Oh, interesting. What did you think of that extended trailer yesterday, Ralph?
Let me say this about that.
All right.
As I said this morning on the Carson Daly Show, if you were listening.
I'm sorry I missed that. I was busy.
I was over there chatting with Carson about this very subject. I had high hopes for Supergirl.
Okay.
I think that is a character that has been grossly underappreciated and used throughout the years, both in comics and in the mass media.
Okay.
The film Supergirl was not well done and not a successful venture back in the 80s, and I think that cost the character, and everyone sort of put her aside for a long time because of that. I had high hopes, and then I watched the extended trailer that was released last night by CBS.
And that raised or lowered your expectations?
Now I went from high hopes to high concerns.
Oh.
It looks like it's confused in terms of its tone. Supergirl... In her secret identity, seems very sort of ditzy, and it's kind of like a Sex and the City kind of vibe. And then it switches to she's working with the government to fight aliens every week. And I'm just concerned. And I'm going to give it a shot. I may be wrong. It's just, you know, it's just a teaser. It's just a trailer, so you can't really tell. But not encouraged by what I've seen.
I had the exact same concerns, Ralph. This is not my area at all. But I was with her when she flew to save the plane. I thought, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then when it got into the government and the aliens, I thought, man, they're biting off a lot. At the same time, she's having her sister help her pick out outfits for her date. I was like, ooh, man, what's happening?
Her platonic boyfriend who wants to sleep with her, who's helping her design her Supergirl suit. And
yeah.
And
then a lot going on.
Then it's the Devil Wears Prada because Calista Flockhart is the bitchy... boss that she has to get lattes for and stuff, and I'm like, what is going on?
Did you immediately think, like a lot of people did online, that it was identical to the SNL spoof of Black Widow?
It was eerily similar. If you didn't see that trailer on SNL, they did a parody of what the Black Widow movie would have been like, which is suddenly Black Widow's trying to find love, and she falls in love with Ultron, and they have... You know, it's hard. They can't make the relationship work because he wants to destroy the world and she wants to save it. And I think it's a shame that a chance to have a strong female superhero lead on television has to be reduced to this little girl who's going on blind dates and sort of pining for men and just having a fashion crisis and stuff. And just, I don't know. I didn't know what to make of it. So that being said, again, I'm going to give it a shot because I love the genre.
And when does that debut? Was it this fall?
This fall. Monday nights on CBS. And
CBS cares.
CBS is awesome, and I love CBS. They're a wonderful company, and almost everything they do is perfect.
Right.
So I'm sure this will be perfect as well.
Well, that took a turn.
We're owned by CBS. so that's that about that.
I got to start listening to the Carson Daly Show. Well, we have some good stuff going on over there.
We had a wonderful conversation over there. Very charming man, that Carson Daly. Plus, I think the Voice finale, I think, is this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
Maybe next week.
Was it nice being on a professional radio show where you were treated with courtesy?
Studios over there smell nice, and they're everything's deluxe, and it sounds so good, and headphones are new, and the seats are all comfortable. It's like riding in first class over there at AM.
Yeah, K-Rock really is so janky compared to every other radio station in the group.
This is like being in the cargo hold underneath a plane in one of those dog carriers.
Oh, we're in the dog carrier?
We're in the cargo. We're in the luggage.
We pretty much are.
And then you go over there, it's first class over there. I got macadamia nuts when I went to the studio. They gave me a mimosa when I sat down.
What?
Wow.
It's insane over there. Carson Daly knows how to roll.
Yep.
I didn't
and
think
Allie,
he
you're
exists.
The dog, right? You'd be the dog.
What the hell?
No, I'm just thinking of the analogy. I mean, I'm just trying to put everybody in their place.
That's even mean by bean standards.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I said that out loud. Back to you.
Whatever.
While we're talking about TV that we love, X-Files stars Dave Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. They surprised fans when the two appeared in a club on Monday night in New York City. Scully and Mulder hopped up on stage at a place called The Cutting Room, where David was performing. Gillian joined him on stage in a duet of Neil Young's song Helpless, and they sang together. And your head's got to explode when that happens, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Mulder and Scully are singing together up on stage. I wish I had been there. That's pretty cool.
Did Duchovny say...
Dave Duchovny.
I don't believe he did.
I love Dave. I think he's a tremendous actor.
And I do, too.
He's a good man, and I enjoy having him on the program.
But
he doesn't need to sing.
Wow.
He just doesn't. I mean, artistically, maybe that
right
scratches an itch he has,
how
and I respect that.
Come at Mulder like that.
Heard it.
I hope the aliens take you and probe you.
Well, I think Bean wants that too, so that's
true,
not a
win. Yeah. It's a win. You Bean.
I think you forgot about the probing, gentlemen. That's what Bean would say up in the spaceship. We are now going to return you to your planet. What about the probing? Wasn't there some probing promise?
Anytime Bean says, I love that, you go, all right,
here it comes.
This is
going to
be harsh.
It's jab, 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 jab. Haymaker! You know the haymaker's coming.
I'm not trying to be mean, but you guys, you've dipped into that. You've listened to a little bit of that, haven't you, Ralph? Come on.
I have not.
I've not heard any
Dave singing.
That video. Okay.
But whatever he does is okay by me. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Zuckerberg, creator of Facebook's 31 years old today. Actress Amber Tamblyn turns 32. Love that Amber Tamblyn.
Same.
Yep.
You could say I'm a Tamblyn man.
File.
What? I'm just saying I'm a fan of hers.
I heard you. File.
I got a Tamblyn. I'm a Tamblyn man. File. Lord, I was born a Tamblyn man.
See? Come on, Kevin. You don't get it.
Oh, I get it.
Uriah Faber is 36 years old today. So is Black Keys guitarist and singer Dan Auerbach. Sophia Coppola's 44. Danny Wood. Apparently is someone from New Kids on the Block. We had no idea he existed before today. Happy birthday, Danny. CeCe DeVille's 53. Tim Roth's 54. Robert Zemeckis. I was rattling a couple of my favorite Zemeckis films last hour, and I was reminded by Beer Mug, of all people. A little trilogy of films called Back to the Future. How about those movies?
There's that.
Well,
there's
he did
that.
Those, too.
He did those,
yeah.
Too. I don't know why I went right to Roger Rabbit and Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that's a strange pull for the first one, Roger Rabbit.
I love that film. That's why it jumped into my head. David Byrne from The Talking Heads. He is 63 years old as well. And George Lucas, who's also made a couple movies. He is 71. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This weekend, it's all happening. The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015 at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. A lot of great bands are performing. As you know, Death Cab for Cutie and Florence and the Machine and Muse of Monsters and Man, Panic at the Disco, so much more. We'd like to give you some tickets, maybe, and some backstage passes as well with a game that we like to call Speedy Weenie.
Hey everybody, it's time for Speedy Weenie, where we take song clips and play them really, really fast. Are you ready to play? It's Speedy Weenie! Speedy Weenie! Yeah, everybody, let's play! Speedy Weenie! Woo!
Did he just die?
I think
it's possible he just died.
Oh. I think so, too. The callers are lined up. Kevin, you want to explain again what we're doing here?
We're going to play a clip of a song sped up like five or six times. So it's forwards. It's the song you know. It's just sped up. You just have to tell us the name of the artist and the name of the song.
All right. Title and artist of the songs that you'll be hearing if you win the tickets to join us at the Weenie Roast this weekend. Who's our first contestant?
First is Travis in Newhall. Hi there.
Hey, how are you, Kevin and B and Ralph and everybody else there?
Hey, we're good.
Yeah.
Doing great. You're our first contestant for Speedy Weenie, so we're going to play this clip for you just one time. So listen up. It's a song that you know. We just need title and artist. Here we go.
Seems pretty easy.
Ooh.
Does sound just the same, except a little faster.
Can I hear it one more time or no?
I'm sorry,
nope.
Just the one time. This time around, we were looking for Soul Meets Body by Death Cab for Cutie. Where Soul
Meets Body? I don't know, that fast version is pretty cool.
It is. It would save us a lot of time on this show if we'd start playing them like that, too. Nice try. Thanks for calling. Who's next?
Let's go to Matt in Brea. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
You ready for Speedy Weenie?
Listen up. Good luck.
I don't know what that noise was. Okay, here's your song.
That is just, that's painful. Awful. Her voice is already high.
Hey, we're gonna give it away, Bean.
Yeah.
Don't yeah laugh at me if you don't know it, if I didn't give it away. Don't well, mock me.
Do you know it?
Vance Joy Riptide.
No, I'm sorry. That was Florence and the Machine. Thank you for playing. All right.
0-2. This may be a little tougher than we thought it was.
Let's go to Michael in Riverside. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Michael.
Are you ready for your song?
Let's do this.
I love that so much. I'd like to request that version.
What was that? But I will guess and say A1 Ace and Cell.
Oh, man.
Those views. Yeah, dude. Sorry. I thought these... I feel like these are easier.
I do, too. I'm sure there are lots of people listening who are screaming at their radios right now. But it is, in the caller's defense, it's way tougher when you're the one on the phone and the pressure is on.
Yeah, it's also harder to hear on the phone than it is on the radio. But let's try. Let's go to Robert in Santa Fe Springs. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you. You ready for Speedy Weenie?
Yep. Let's try this.
Good luck.
Is that Monsters and Men?
Yes. Song title?
Was it the song we just played, Little Talks?
Yes! Yes, it was.
Well done, Robert. Well done. You are in the drawing and one step closer to winning backstage passes and tickets in the pit for this weekend's Weenie Roast. Hang on. We'll find out if you win.
Let's go to Valerie in Southgate. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Beth.
Valerie, what have you been thinking as you've been listening to the Speedy Weedy game on hold?
Believe it or not, I thought it was going to be tough, but so far I've been getting every single one right. And I've been nailing it before they have the chance to answer, so I'm hoping that happens with me.
I hope that happens as well. Here you go.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Oh. You're telling me you got the first four, and then we get to Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance, and you don't recognize that one?
No.
Yeah, sorry.
So sorry, Valerie. So sorry. All right. We got time for one more contestant. Who's up next?
This would be Kate in Menai's. Hi there.
Hi. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
I want you to be a big winner here, Kate. Listen closely, okay?
Okay. is it Big Data?
Oh, no. Sorry. Sorry, time it was Riptide right, by Vance Joy. Well, we got...
All right, we have a drawing. We have...
I'm going to pick Robert.
Hold on, we got Robert. And he's in Santa Fe Springs. And then in Santa Fe Springs, we also have Robert.
Yeah.
And then I think on the next line, we have a guy named Robert who's a legal assistant. So those three, it's going to be one of them to win the tickets for backstage passes and in the pit.
Make sure that you do a drawing.
Robert!
Robert, congratulations.
Wow, guys, thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing Speedy Weedy. You now have tickets to the Weedy Roast.
In the pit, isn't it crazy? You have tickets in the pit to the Speedy Weedy, Speedy Weedy, Speedy Weedy.
We have five pair of tickets if you would like to see the LA Galaxy take on the Houston Dynamo. This is a week from tomorrow night, Friday night, May 22nd at the StubHub Center. We'll take five callers, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll see you there on a week from Friday.
And Houston is really good, too. They're one of the big rivals against the Galaxy, right? So that's a good one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, I tuned into Dr. Drew's show last night on HLN. You know, it has been newly revamped with a live studio audience. Dr. Drew joins us every Thursday morning here on the Kevin Amin Show. And it's fascinating to me, Drew. What's it like in your head when you have to pivot from live coverage of the Philadelphia train crash to Mike Catherwood talking about vaginas? Is that tough as a host?
It's what's called a turn, a transition. Yeah,
that's a U-turn, by the way.
Yeah, I know. And I saw it coming, and I was thinking to myself, how the hell am I going to do this? But here we go. But, Bean, thanks for watching it. We really do feel very good about the show in front of an audience. It's more natural when you're doing a talk show in front of an audience as opposed to those little boxes with everyone closing their studio trying to get attention and get their points across. This is a lot more like sort of politically incorrect, that kind of
yeah. Are all of your audience members equally hot? Like
no,
all
no,
of your
that's
guests?
That's just our contributors up
okay.
on stage. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I will tell you, though, Dr. Jordan, we're going to move on to another topic here, but it is one thing to hear you read a tweet from somebody about how can I give my boyfriend oral sex. It's a completely different experience when a young woman stands up in the audience and asks that in front of everybody. I mean, it was weird, right?
It's weird, right, in front of God and everybody. And yesterday it was weird because – and it's live, too. It's live. You know, we're not taping anything. And so this woman stands up and talks about not having orgasms since she had her copper IUD put in. And is that possible? And I was like, well, are you having trouble? And she stares back at me like, are you really asking me that? I said, well, I got to know. I mean, what the hell?
Well, would she ask the question if she wasn't?
Exactly right. And you asked. I'm just trying to get to the answer.
Well, it's a good show, Dr. Drew. It airs on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. And, of course, the doctor's on KBC in the afternoon and here on K-Rock with Loveline with Mike Catherwood. Here's what we want to talk to you about this week. And I'm sure you saw this story and I'm sure you've covered it on your various media outlets as well. United Airlines kicked a family off a flight because the pilot thought that the 15-year-old autistic daughter might be a threat. The mom had asked for a meal for the kid to calm her down, and when she didn't get one right away, she said, oh, my daughter might start screaming and may start scratching people, and that was the threat the pilot received. Did United Airlines make a huge mistake, or were they just acting in the interest of safety, Dr. Drew?
Right. I love the way the print sort of reports this thing, which is that United Airlines hates autistic children, which is really how it goes down. When, in fact, what had happened was nothing to do with the child. It was this mother who became ridiculously threatening. Here's, as you say, you sort of sketched it out, Bean, but what happened was this woman is there with her autistic child. She's a 15-year-old girl, and she's lovely, and she has sort of mood swings and gets, you know, sort of agitated at times. And the mother, you know, snaps her finger, goes, hey, lady, come here, to the flight attendant. My child needs a meal now. It can't be cool. It can't be warm. There must be steam coming off it now. And the flight attendant was like, "Well, honey, you're in coach. We don't have hot meals here. We can run over to first, and let us try to figure this out." And she goes, "Look, if you don't get this hot meal, steam coming off right now, my child's going to begin having a tantrum and scratching, and you know, threatening that she's going to like sick her child on the flight attendant." In some sort of Tasmanian devil state.
It's so bizarre how those two different stories, how different the one we heard was.
Completely different. If you don't know how to read newspapers these days, they're never revealing the truth. They're always just sort of sketching out the truth that they'd liked it to be, or to make it a sensation. So the flight attendant goes to the cab, goes, look, there's a woman right there threatening to unleash a child that is apparently wild. And of course, it's maritime law. You're up in the sky. If somebody starts to behave strangely, the captain's going to go, well, let's just take this down and deal with it on the ground. You know what? What they don't know this child is going to go crazy and throw open the hatch. Is that a possibility here? Is she going to punch out the windows? Is she going to hurt other passengers? Well, this mom is threatening to unleash this wild animal on everybody. And the mom apparently was really awful. The child.
It sounds like the kid wasn't a threat to anybody except as an inconvenience for. Yeah, an inconvenience because passengers would have to listen to her make noise or whatever like that, but it sounds like the mom kind of trumped her up into being the Incredible Hulk or something.
Exactly. In fact, the other passengers reported the child, when they saw, they didn't really, hadn't known exactly what was going on, so while they're periscoping and videoing and Instagramming what was happening as this family was taken off the plane, they're all going, well, the child was great. What's wrong with the child? They must hate autistic children. Well, no, they didn't understand what had gone down with this mom, who was self-righteous and, you know, I'm going to sue and, of course, she brought it on herself. You're in the air. You've got they don't. There's no room for error up there, and the pilot's responsible to get everybody down safely, then deal with it.
Boy, I'll tell you, hearing that the mom was really the threat and not the kid changes everything.
Everything. Yeah.
And it's not a surprise to you, is it, Kevin, based on the other stories we've seen that involve the parents being the true perpetrators here.
And the way the print twists things just to their needs to make it a PC or an anti-PC story or to make it sensational. And, you know, again, you guys must have this experience where you say something to somebody who's in the print media and you read the way it's contextualized or what they claim you say.
All the time, yeah.
You totally. Can't even believe it. You can't even believe it. So it causes you to read press very, very differently. And when I looked into this one, lo and behold, there was the story.
Yep. That's Remember, Bean, when you read the story and I said, I just feel like there's more to it?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Looks like there's more to it. So the mom is not backing down. I think she is going forward with the lawsuit against United. She claims it's not for money, though. It's just to raise awareness and encourage flight attendants to get additional screening on how to deal with autistic children.
How to deal with the parents that are paying the ass? Is that, is that what we're talking about? Because the parents. They dealt with the child, fine. Although maybe you could argue. But by the way, I did interview a number of attorneys about this very case, and the attorneys looked at me like, this is not a case. This is not going to go very far. But to try to see this woman's point of view, perhaps if the flight attendants were not so anxious about the potential of what a autistic child could do and could understand that there was really no potential for this child to do harm, perhaps they wouldn't have gone to the captain. Perhaps there wouldn't have been such a to-do about this.
Gotcha. As always, Dr. Drew, you bring the news into sharp focus for us, and we really do appreciate it. Loveline, 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 6 o'clock, and the good doctor will be on AM 790 KABC this afternoon at noon. Talk to you soon, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Okay.
Ooh, I leave you, dude. Oh, David Letterman is going after Al Doobie-Doo. Oh, making a movie insulting Indians. Doobie-Doo. Oh, Doobie-Doo.
I like listening to Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Morning Show.
There you go.
Adam
There's
Sandler
your
calling
the
in.
Showbiz beat. Apparently so, yeah.
No idea. I didn't know Adam Sandler was a listener.
Oh, I make bad comedy. Adobe-doh.
By the way, Adam Sandler back in the day... And I wasn't, Kevin, a huge fan of his movies. I understand they were very good. But he was great as a comedian. He was great on Saturday Night Live. Very talented dude.
Mm-hmm. He turned the corner at some point.
At some point he did.
I think we all just caught on.
You think so?
I really do.
I don't. You don't think he was funny back in those early days?
Nope.
Really? Like his Hanukkah song? To me, still funny.
I guess. But compared to what? All the other funny Hanukkah songs?
Well, that's a good question, huh?
But he did some great work on SNL, though.
Really? Opera Man, where he would just talk about stuff? Just going, oh, I like to go to a baseball game. Oh, I eat a peanut and a drink of beer.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Opera Man fan.
Well, that's all his stuff. It was just saying things in different voices.
So what you're saying, Ralph, is that Adam Sandler has never been funny.
Sometimes. I think he can be fine sometimes.
I think he turned the corner after Happy Madison.
But I think his level of success way outstripped his talent.
Well, really? That's possible.
He was like the hottest thing in the world there for a couple of years. And I was looking around saying, okay, it's kind of funny, but...
All right. Well, he just called in, so it was nice.
Price is wrong, bitch.
That's right.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fine. But come on, let's all relax, okay? The Adam Sandler now.
It was interesting in the Letterman piece that you referenced, the song he sang, where he put in the lyrics that he was 48 years old. And I thought for a moment, what does a 48-year-old Adam Sandler do? Because what people want from him is what a 25-year-old Adam Sandler would
Listen,
do.
Listen, you act like he's not successful.
Yeah.
For the most part, his movies still make a ton of cash.
Right.
I mean, those Grown Ups films with Kevin James and David Spade and all those cronies that he employs, Rob Schneider and all those guys, they all make money.
Okay. So Adam Sandler's fine. We shouldn't worry about him.
Yeah, trust me.
He's going to be okay.
He's going to be okay. Right. My favorite thing was, I don't know why we're on an Adam Sandler rant at this point, but do you remember when they did something either on the SAG Awards or the Academy Awards or something and talked about the history of film? And they sat down and did a filmed interview with him, and it was part of, like, a larger montage.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I just want to tell the truth in my films.
I got to hear if you want to,
Ralph. I hope you learn a little something about me when we watch my movies. You have it?
Yeah, lady, you want it?
Yeah.
I'm eventually trying to one day tell the truth. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there, but I'm slowly letting pieces of myself out there, and then maybe by the time I'm 85, I'll look back and say, all right, that about summed it up.
Yes, what a painfully honest filmmaker he is with all those touching portraits of humanity he does.
I do remember that moment and going, why is Adam Sandler in this montage?
Because he's one of our great filmmakers, Kevin. He tells the truth in his films, okay?
Oh, f*** you.
Remember when he was the devil's son? He was telling the truth about what it's like to be the son of the devil.
To be Little Nicky?
Little Nicky.
Yeah. The water.
Why when he peed on that wall with that kid? That was the truth, right, man. It was real urine.
Why does he still talk like that when he's not playing a character in a movie? Like, why is that his real interview speaking voice?
Dummy-doo.
That bugs me, too.
We've spent a lot of time talking about Adam Sandler.
Probably too much.
Maybe we should move on. Let's talk about Iggy Azalea and Britney Spears. Their new song, Pretty Girls, their duet we've been breathlessly awaiting, has finally been delivered. Yesterday, the video was released. And I'll tell you, this song, it's like Adam Sandler's movies. It tells the truth. Here's a little taste. Yeah, it's the truth, man. Pretty girls, they do get all the drinks and make all the noise. And men do like them when they go out of their houses, those pretty girls.
That sounds like a smash, though, doesn't it?
The video is amazing. It is, it's a song, and then it's also some acting right in the middle, a little sketch between Iggy Azalea playing an alien from another planet who Britney Spears, as an 80s Valley girl, tries to teach the ways of Valley to. It's a tour de force.
Hi, girls.
Hey, B.
Who's the new hottie?
Yeah, she looks, like, totally far out.
She is. She's, like, totally from another planet.
Totally.
No way. This phone is totally broken.
I can totally fix it for you.
Fix it for me.
Fix it. Alien powers.
Those are radical alien powers.
Yeah.
Let me call your friend.
Okay.
Totally. Hello, girls. Where I... Totally coming over right now.
Let's go.
Oh, f*** you.
This is why they won't let me have drones.
Yeah, it's probably better that way.
Pentagon said no drones for you. Listener Edwin writes in regarding that video, by the way. He says, party people, thank God someone finally had the idea of satirizing the Valley Girls. Leave it to those two titans of edgy, provocative humor, Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea, to take on this fad. I hope they turn their sights on that punk rock I've been hearing so much about lately.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Why is Edwin funnier than a lot of us who actually have this job?
I wonder if he has a gig. Maybe we should hire this guy and bring
him in. Sounds like he should.
Every day he writes multiple emails that make me laugh, so...
Yeah, he's doing more for the show than I am, I think.
Portia de Rossi is lovely and talented. She is currently on Scandal. But I had no idea she had such a hard upbringing. You know,
Ralph, I miss it. Who are you talking about?
Portia de Rossi.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Portia de Rossi. Go.
She had, she was a child model. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It sounds like a bad idea to mix children in modeling, especially fashion modeling.
Yep.
She said she had a long history of suffering from bulimia and anorexia. Her eating disorder took hold when she was 12 years old, when she was a 12-year-old fashion model. She said at one time she abstained from eating for 10 days.
Wow.
Modeling agents told me I was too fat. I had to go on a diet. I didn't eat for 10 days after that. When she was on the catwalk, she said she was also bullied by other older models. I'm on the catwalk. I'm a little kid posing, trying to be sexy, strutting around, and these other older models are making fun of my bushy eyebrows.
She's fat.
What a brutal thing for a 12-year-old girl to go through.
Agreed.
But she's hot now, so she wins.
Fat people need not apply.
And Portia de Rossi, of course, famously in a relationship with Ellen DeGeneres,
mm-hmm.
right? Cate Blanchett's doing a movie about lesbians as well. She's doing a movie called Carol, which takes place in the 1950s when lesbianism, of course, was not, gays or lesbians weren't allowed to be out. She's a woman who falls in love with another young woman in a department store named Rooney Mara is the actress who plays that role. And she talked about an interview that said she's had past relationships with women many times. She's been married to playwright and screenwriter Andrew Upton since 1997. They have four children together, but she said she's had plenty of relationships with women. So
that doesn't awesome. Really even good raise times. Eyebrows anymore, right?
It's no, like, not at all.
Good for you.
And this movie about O.J. Simpson that's coming to television on FX called American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cast just keeps getting more interesting to me. First of all, we found out that Cuba Gooding Jr. was playing the Juice, right?
Right.
Then it was a big announcement when John Travolta signed on to play Robert Shapiro. David Schwimmer is Robert Kardashian. Selma Blair has just been announced will play Kris Kardashian, now Kris Jenner, in that film. Connie Britton of our beloved Nashville, she's playing Faye Resnick in the film. Courtney Vance will be Johnny Cochran. Sarah Paulson is Marcia Clark. And now Malcolm Jamal Warner, Theo, from The Cosby Show, will play Al Cowlings. A.C. Cowlings, of course, drove O.J. around in that famous slow speed chase. Or slow cheese space. What did you say?
I said in the Bronco.
Oh, in the Bronco,
but
yes.
I like the low...
The slow cheese...
Slow cheese pace.
Slow cheese pace.
I think he...
It's a cool cast.
I think that's great casting, by the way. He looks a lot like Al Cowlings.
He does.
I was surprised to hear you say Connie Britton, though, because she seems so much older now than I remember Faye Resnick being at the time.
Yeah. I don't think it matters. She's got star power.
Right, exactly, yeah. That could be good, man. Obviously, that was an extremely dramatic real-life story, you know? So many angles to it.
You must have quit. Glove don't fit.
That's right, man.
I wonder how OJ's doing. I think he's doing well. He's the Juice.
He is.
Hope everything's okay there in prison.
I bet if you're OJ, not to get off on another tangent, I bet your life
what
is
pretty
good.
What does Adam Sandler think of OJ? That's what I'm really wondering about.
I bet your life is pretty good. Even though you're in prison and that sucks, you are still the biggest celebrity in prison, and I bet you are treated with deference for that reason.
If he's not a dick. If he's a dick, things are going to be rough, I imagine.
Yeah, but probably so.
Yeah.
Remember we talked to Chong about being in prison? He's like, yeah, I was like the mayor. I wanted to stay in there.
Well, yeah. If you go in for pot crimes, you have to be the king of prison, right?
Right.
I don't know if you're for murdering your wife, your ex-wife, though, whether they hold you in such high esteem.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that is.
Try to be a good guy.
You are 2,000 yards in a single season, though. That buys you some cred, right?
Look, not to mention, prisoners love the Naked Gun movies. That's a fact.
Is that a fact?
Oh, they love those films. Frank Drebin is a superstar. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Miranda Cosgrove is 22 years old today. Mark Zuckerberg, the man who created Facebook, turns 31. Amber Tamblyn, 32. Uriah Faber's 36. Dan Auerbach, Black Keys guitarist and singer, is 36. Sofia Coppola, daughter of legendary director Francis Ford Coppola, and of course a director and actress in her own right, she's 44. Danny Wood of New Kids on the Block is 46. Cece DeVille turns 53. Tim Roth, one of my favorite actors, 54 years old. Robert Zemeckis, movie director, 63. David Byrne of Talking Heads, also 63. And George Lucas celebrates.
George Lucas raped a childhood. George Lucas raped a childhood. George Lucas raped a childhood.
Yes, that's true. George did rape our childhood.
That's a lovely song.
But then he went and he sold our childhood to someone else who's going to take good care of our
childhood. That's
correct. So he made it up to us in the end. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, we have the movie beat. We also have comedian Jim Gaffigan on the program. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have a trip for you to Las Vegas. And we've got more tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.